welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. We're vulnerable. It's early. We can talk. T, good morning.
Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Tracy Strasser, and O'Brien.
Hello.
Well, something I was thinking about, two things I'll catch you up on. First off, my dad gave me a buzz when I got home yesterday. It's always nice. I would prefer to have all my conversations on the air.
Yeah, hello?
I don't like any of that. I'll call you when you get home. It's a part of life I dislike. I'll tell you what happened with that in a second. First, something I was thinking about from yesterday but never got to. We always talk about repetition and consistency.
Right.
And I've always said, for instance, throw your keys and wallet down in the same place every day when you enter the house.
You've been very, very helpful with that.
Danny was smart. He took my advice.
Said it first thing I did in my new condo.
And what it is you'll never have that, where are my keys? If the keys aren't in that little wooden bowl that you keep by your entry door, then somebody stole them.
Right.
I've spent most of my life looking to see where my keys were. I have 8 primary places I put them. It's like, where's the keys? Well, it's not here. Well, now I'm going to go find the pants I was wearing last night and see if the keys are in the pants. Then the next one is, I'll see if I carried them when I walked into the kitchen. So I'll go check the kitchen.
Then you got to check the pants of the chick you were with. And then that's a hassle and you don't want to wake her up.
You don't want to wake her up. Oh, my God, she stopped breathing. Now I really need my van.
Dude, were you alive for Preludes? That's not that far of a joke.
So the point is consistency. Now, you try to get consistent, and then life throws you a curveball. Like I said, the ATM you go to every time spits your card out, then spits the cash out. Except for when you go on the road, you get the one that spits the cash out and then waits for a 15 Mississippi, and then spits your card out. But by that time, you're in the rental car, and you're down the road. Once you establish certain patterns, things will F you up. Well, I don't know if you noticed this, but about 5 or 8 years ago, valet parkers started shutting the car. There must have been some incident. Maybe it's an insurance thing. Maybe it's one of these things. Back in the day, when you'd get your car valeted, wherever it was, restaurant, or you went to the airport, or whatever it is that involved the valet, they gave you your car, and it was running.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'd get in your car, and you'd take off. Well, something must have happened a few years back where they gave a guy a car running, and the car went into gear and took off or something. Something. But I've noticed, oftentimes, when I got my car back, it wasn't running, and I had to restart my car. Burbank Airport does that, or at least did that. I was there on Sunday. I jumped into the car with the wife, threw the stuff in the back, had a nice big long line of people that were waiting to get their cars on a Sunday afternoon, and did the double start move. The car was already running, yeah. And I tried to start it because, for some reason, they stopped doing it, or the guy stopped doing it this time, or whatever it was. So my brain went from every time I jump in the car after it's valeted, hit the gas, the car's running, to now I have to restart the car, to I'm going to restart the car when it's already running. All I'm saying is, people, whatever it is, whatever we're going for in life, consistency. That's the only thing your feeble brain can understand. Your brain does not have enough time to evaluate every situation on its own merits. If it did, it would take you 20 minutes to pull your car out of the garage every morning.
And I've never worn this outfit.
Right.
If you can make those decisions, I'd have never worn this.
Well, I like the fact that you artificially, you create consistency by, say, putting out a bowl and putting your keys in that bowl, thereby freeing up your brain to do more important works. Like Albert Einstein, I don't know if this is true, but the story about him is that he wore the same outfit every day. He just had
latex.
Right.
He was a bondage nun.
No, he had 7 of the exact same outfits.
Yeah, the khaki pants and the V-neck sweater and the shoes.
Right.
So every morning, he wouldn't waste his mental energy choosing an outfit.
Here's how it goes. Here's what I do believe this. I believe you have one brain, and you can use percentages of that brain for certain things. Meaning, if you're working on a computer you've never used before, or let's just put it this way. Let's suppose you had your own keyboard at home, and everyone had their own custom keyboard.
Right. They weren't all QWERTY.
Yeah. And if you were a writer and you got used, I don't know what that word means.
I do.
I know Helvetic.
It's your typical keyboard.
It's the most popular keyboard code word.
QWERTY, the top of your keyboard, QWERTY.
Oh, that's what goes
code
on the top. Right. Oh, okay.
And if you need a number, then it's 1. QWERTY 1. We'll open up almost everybody's computer.
So that is that what go? That's the letters that
right.
go.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. So if they weren't all QWERTY, but let's say Danny's, yours was, I don't know, N-word. I don't know why you put two G's next to each other, but...
That seems you only need one.
It just whatever.
Mine, on the whole
uppercase, lowercase, whatever. The point is you have your own keyboard. You have your own keyboard. Brian has his. His says bald across the top. Mine says great. Whatever.
Dude,
The point is, if I'm going to use your computer to work on my novel, I don't spend most of my brain. I don't use my brain working on creativity. I spend half of it trying to figure out your keyboard.
Yeah.
Now, in a year or in 2 months, I'll have your keyboard figured out, and then I'll free up all of my brain to do it. When I talked about this radio show back in the day, they gave me this show, and they said, look, no one's going to fill Howard Stern's big boots. We're not even expecting anything. It's going to take a few years before we even start looking at the ratings and what have you. Well, of course, 3 months into the show, everyone's like,
bastards.
What the hell's going on with the ratings? This is horrible.
How come you suck, Corolla?
Why do you suck so much?
Hold on, that's what they do.
This isn't Howard's numbers.
Right.
Why not?
So I kept telling them.
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
I have to spend a fair amount of my brain energy just acclimating myself, figuring out the phones, figuring out where everyone is, figuring out the repetition, figuring out the phone number, figuring out the clock. And until I get my reps, I'm just not going to free up the other part of my brain that's going to be funny. I have about 65% of my brain that was dedicated to being funny, and another 35%, or 45% if you're my wife, because she's not great at math. It's not that she gives 110% that she's bad at math. I have 35% of my brain that is being occupied by trying to figure out the phone lines in the computer and trying to remember what the gay board op's name is. That's what it was. Now, I only use 8% of my brain for that because I've had reps.
Right.
The reps, the repetition, that's the important part. So, yes, the more you train yourself with here are the keys, here's where the things work, here's how my house works, here's how my life works, the more of your brain that is freed up for being creative. When you drive, I always look at it as driving a rental car. When you drive your rental car, you use 75% of your brain just figuring out the rental car, and you have 25 to go to your destination. When you drive your car after 6 months, zero of your brain. I mean, think about your brain when you get a new car. When you get a new car and there's that first day, how many calories are you burning when you're driving down the road? Like, where's the seat adjustment thing? How do I turn the wipers on? Where's the high beams? How's the radio work? Now you jump in your car, you're texting on your BlackBerry, you have a cup of coffee in your hand, you're driving with your knee, and you're adjusting the radio through telepathy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly. Have you ever gotten a new phone? And then I recently got a new phone, and in a day I had to take it back because I thought, I don't have time right now to adapt myself to a new phone. It's too much.
The key, I agree. And so thus, the key is figure out, don't call it a rut, just call it a streamlining. Get your business together. Get your keys, mark the front door one. Don't have the one where you have to try 3 different keys and roll the dice every time. Do the little indicators. As I've said
many a time.
I had a funny conversation way back in the day when Brother P-Touch used to be a sponsor on the show. They're good people. They come back and forth. They want to talk to me about their Brother P-Touch. And the only trouble I get into when I talk to sponsors is I usually have a couple of improvements for their product.
Right.
That is a problem.
They're not nutty about that, but I'm deadly serious, which is one of the things I do, as I've mentioned before, is I use my Brother P-Touch and I label things in my house. I have probably 5 portable phones, or not cellular phones, but just the kind that don't have a cord on them in my house. They all look the same. They get put in the wrong cradle. The upstairs phone gets put downstairs. Well, let me give you a little tip. I took my brother P-Touch and I wrote kitchen on the back, and I wrote den, and I wrote office, and I wrote all of them. Now,
it's a great tip, man.
Later on, I noticed that the upstairs phones were getting downstairs and the downstairs phones were getting upstairs. So I took some yellow tape and I yelled at my wife about how smart I was and why I have to do everything. And I took some yellow tape and I wrapped it around the antenna of the two upstairs phones. So if it has yellow on it, it shouldn't be going downstairs. Or if it gets left downstairs, it goes back upstairs. Those are the upstairs phones. But here's my improvement for the Brother P-Touch people, beside the spell check.
Yeah, that'd
be
nice.
Yeah, spell check should be on everything. Cell phones, everything.
Turns out there's not three L's in Molly's bowl.
Wait a second. I didn't know that.
Well, there is technically, sure. But... No, just Molly.
I see.
Just the word Molly. Yeah, there's four altogether, or five, actually. I do two with Bull. Point is, I said spell check in the big one.
Right.
And then the thing that cuts, something's humming.
Yeah, I was taking my shirt off because I didn't want to be in trouble, but nope, not me.
The thing that cuts the end off, there's a slicer, spits the tape out,
right.
Boom. You cut the tape off, cuts it square, 90 degrees, What is that thing?
Sorry, I hope it's not my phone vibrating.
We could, if we were grown-ups, ignore it, and we're not going to.
Can't do it.
I think it stopped. Sorry, I hope that might have been my phone vibrating.
Let's not forget professionals. It cut the tape off square. Just cuts it, boom, straight away, like that. Problem is when you put it on the back of the phone thing, eventually the corner starts getting pulled up, starts peeling up. I said to the brother folks, getting a note here. I said to the brother folks, cut it like the end of a hot dog. Have a cutter on the thing that cuts it round. Now, if you're putting it on the back of the phone, or you're putting it on the back of your iPod, or you're putting it on the back of your labeling anything, A, it looks better.
Yeah.
It's rounded off. But B, no corner. Because that sticky corner will... come up.
Peels off. You'd think they would welcome this idea, Adam.
Plus, no. It is the high-tech version of the frat house kick me, I'm a weirdo. You can now print it out on the P-Touch, rather than draw it in marker.
Mm-hmm.
You stick it right on their face while they're sleeping. They'll never know it's there.
And if it has that hot dog shape, not only does it look phallic, which makes it funnier,
right. But
the corners don't. And you'd be surprised. All the phones I've done in my house, all the corners are all kind of rolling back, and it's sticky. And if I had that little hot dog shape, I'd be a happy man, and I could die content. All right, that was that. Also, like I said, my dad gave me a call when I got home yesterday. If you didn't hear, we were having a debate.
Yeah.
The debate continued off the air at my house, which is I'm leasing him an expensive car, and he doesn't drive it when he comes to my house oftentimes. The debate essentially continued off the air the same as it did on the air, which was he didn't see what the problem was. And I kept saying to him, Dad, if you lease me an expensive luxury car and every time I came to your house I wasn't driving it, would you not have any feelings about it? And he said,
hello?
He said, no. I just wouldn't.
And I said,
but Dad, couldn't you see that most people would? And he said, I guess some people would and others wouldn't.
And then the worst, now that I know that you feel that way.
I know.
I guess so.
He did that psychologist thing where he goes, why do you have to keep bringing other people into this? You don't like it. So that's the issue. And I said, Dad, here's why. So I need to have some sort of universal measuring stick I can measure my sanity or insanity against. And I use society for that.
Right.
I do use society for that. And we all use society for that. I was at the McCarran Airport on Sunday behind 700,000 other members of society waiting in a security line. My impulse as an animal, it was to walk to the front of the line and say, everyone out of my way. I'm more important than you guys, and I want to go get a Bloody Mary at the bar. So I'll go to the front of the line. But there's that part where society says, so does everyone else in this line. Now get to the back of the line. These people were waiting for an hour. Of course, you kind of have to use society to measure your feelings. Otherwise, it'd be pretty much chaos. So my dad was doing that thing where he said, well, why do you worry about what other people think? And I said, Dad, I'm just saying so you don't think I'm out of line or being a prima donna or holding you to a standard higher than society. If you took 10 people and they leased somebody a luxury car and that somebody rarely drove it when they came to visit, five of them would go out and take a baseball bat to the car they drove, which wasn't their car, and four of them would just be quietly PO'd, and one of them would say it didn't matter, but it did.
Three of my family would take a bat to your dad.
Right, and he only has two family members. One of them's the dog. All right.
Man.
Now, my nuts are my nuts.
If I buy somebody a Jag in my family and they don't pull up in it, they should actually have it strapped to their friggin' back and not drive it. Just carry it.
Carry the Jag.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just to give you a little insight, why I always say my dad is a very good guy, and he's the guy. My dad's the guy you'd want watching your kids, watching your money, looking after your house. He doesn't have a dishonest bone in his body.
Right. Oh, great.
It's impossible for him to lie. Like he almost physically can't lie. He legitimately does not see what the problem is, would not be upset 1 ounce if he bought you a car and you didn't drive it, and furthermore says, I drive the car, just don't drive it to your house, which is another weird thing, but a non-issue in his mind and means no malice, and that's the problem.
It's
hard to get upset at somebody who knows not what they do, and not only means you no harm, is a big fan.
Yeah.
Right.
Just not going to drive the car that they...
Nope. Fan. They know not what they do. I mean, it's almost, and I don't mean to call your father insane. I don't mean this at all. But it's the legal definition of insanity. If you do not know the difference between right and wrong, you will be found innocent on reasons of insanity.
Hell yeah.
His father does not know the wrong of not pulling up in the Jag when his son bought it for him. He doesn't get it. He doesn't think about it. He's a decent man and never put those two together. But he doesn't know.
If he were sitting here, he'd say, that's just your opinion. Yeah. I don't think it's not wrong at all. You lease me a car and I drive it almost every place except for to your house.
Your dad's getting called crazy by Danny Bonin. You might just want to pay attention.
You are a life coach.
And, you know, we'll get to that coming up in a few. But, yeah, so no malice. And, That's what everyone should understand. I think that kind of stuff is a learned behavior.
Yeah.
To a certain degree, like somebody says thank you and you must say you're welcome.
Right.
That's taught.
That.
I don't think my dad grew up in an environment where anything existed, so I just don't think that existed. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, are you smarter than a Raiders fan? Win a $100 gift certificate to the Raiders Image Store. Do we have...
Who wrote the Star Spangled Banner?
All right. Are you smarter than a Raiders fan? 866-901-ADAM. Are we playing? We're just playing the listener. Just the callers. All right. You can win yourself $100.
Wow.
To the Raiders Image Store. Huh. Image Store is a funny one. Like, all right, for $89, we're going to remove all those arrest warrants from your... let me just fire up the computer here. All right. Right. We have a $59 deal at the Raiders Image Store. You're on the... you're on a watchdog list for sexual predators. I think we can go ahead and... There you go. It's $59. And... here's a Denver Broncos ski beanie. All right. That's $18. We made you over. All right.
Done.
We'll take a quick break. Be back with Are You Smarter Than a Raiders Fan next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. And now a word from the suit. Program director Jack Silver.
Check out my new animated series on CBS Mobile, peeps. Jack Silver, Life Gooch. Speaking of which, Danny's gonna do a little life coaching. Your chance to see if you're smarter than a Raiders fan. Comedian Dana Gould. John Fugelsang. Whoa, the John Fugelsang? And from L.A.'s Galpin Ford, the guy who leases Adam's dad's car, Bo Buckman. Are you goddamn serious? The situation is getting dire. We have been boob-free for well over a week now. I don't care if you gotta get Likas in studio and take his shirt off. I gotta see some tatas.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Are you smarter than a Raiders fan while playing? Just let me finish something I was talking about with my dad in the car and something we got into yesterday. Now, you guys tell me if you think this is condescending or smart. I do this all the time.
Condescending.
Hell yeah.
Is asking you if it's condescending?
No, just knowing in advance it's going to be.
All right. I talk to people all the time about stuff they don't seem to care about.
I remember that.
Oh, that's good.
And
that's
I talked to my dad after the show, and I said, you know, Dad, if you leased my sister a luxury car and every time she came over she didn't drive it, wouldn't that irk you a little bit? And he said, no, wouldn't have any thoughts about it. I said, Dad, what if there's a guy who you jammed with, you played the horn with, and he had kind of a crappy horn, so you bought him a nice, new, expensive horn. This guy played the trumpet. And every time he came over to jam, he didn't bring your new horn. And when you'd say to him, hey, what's up with the new horn? Is there a problem? And he'd say, no, plays great, sounds great, use it all the time. But he didn't bring it when he came over to jam. And then you said to him, are you sure there's no problem? And he said, no, it's a great horn. I played all day long at home. And you said, well, geez, it was a pretty expensive horn. Maybe you should bring it when we come jam. And he said, all right. Then the next time he showed up, he didn't have it. And when you questioned him about it, he said, what's the big deal? I love the horn you bought me. And by the way, he said, kind of looking at a new horn, too. I'm hoping you'll help me out with it. Would you have no feelings about that? Then I think he got confused and said, does the horn play right or is the old horn? And next thing you know, we were talking about Dizzy Gillespie got confused. But now, is that a condescending way to approach a conversation? Because for me, I feel like when you talk to someone about something they care about, all of a sudden they become all ears versus I've tuned you out completely because I'm not interested in cars or whatever we're talking about.
I think you'll appreciate this. I'm 5'6" and talk down to everyone. Do you know how hard that is to pull off, buddy? Mm. But I do not find it condescending because what you think is happening is not happening. I think you're having two fully separate conversations, and you said it earlier when you pointed out that there's no malice. It's not getting through somehow. The message is not getting through that it's bothering you, and he drives it to work. He loves his Jag. I don't think you're having the same conversation.
All right, but what about the horn analogy? Is that condescending? Do people not appreciate that?
Trying to put it in his language and that's something that he can understand since cars aren't important.
Where does it end? You know, if I'm talking to...
It ends with play the Star Spangled Banner out your butt with this horn, Dad.
If I'm talking to Ozzy and I say, if I gave you 100 tortillas and a donkey...
That's really condescending. And possibly racist.
I actually did give him a donkey and 100 tortillas, though.
Yeah.
Well, then it's generous.
I did a donkey. What did Jesus ride into Bethlehem on?
That's right.
The guy goes.
Segway? I don't think so, bitch.
See?
Yeah. All right. We're going to play...
I just want to tell you real quick, by the way, your Brother P-Touch thing that you did, you've now given me zippered sweatpants. Mm-hmm. You've now given me a place for my keys. Mm-hmm. If you ask Angie right now, I'm in a panic all day. Left my charger for my phone in Vegas, and we're having minor emergencies involving me, and no one could leave me a message, nor could I retrieve them. So I'm going to go home and do that, and you will have now saved my life three times. And I didn't want to let that slip my mind.
Put your name on
or
your...
Or where it goes, which room it goes in. I just wanted it before it slipped my mind. Thank you again.
Thank you. Let's play Are You Smarter Than a Raiders Fan?
You may not be smart. In fact, you may be an idiot. But are you smarter than a Raiders fan?
Mark from Corona called in first. Mark?
Adam.
You ready to go here? Now, this is Board Op Bill. Board Op Bill took the microphone and the tape recorder and went to a Pep Boys, I do believe. Good name for a gay bar, Pep Boys.
Manny, Moe, and Jack are there.
Yeah.
Moe. My car's one's an adjective, one's a verb.
You got Moe and Jack right in the same
group. You change Manny to Manny? Many most with Jack, you'd be really going, you'd be smoking.
Also, Manny is, can't say without saying man.
Right. Yeah.
So, Bill, what happened?
My car blew up when I was on my way to the Raider bar, so I pulled into the Pep Boys, and they were more than happy to let me interview some Raiders fans there.
All right. And was this guy an employee?
A couple of them were. I don't know if I want to say until after they've answered.
I understand. Yeah. But you spoke to the good people over at Pep Boys.
Absolutely, and they were very helpful. Everyone in the service department was extremely helpful in letting me do this.
Is that the one over in Hollywood?
This is the one actually in Atwater, right behind Dodger Stadium. Many more Manny's there.
All right. So we get started. We had our first tease. Let's play it again.
Who wrote the Star Spangled Banner?
All right. Now we know it's Francis Scott Key, right?
Right.
Do we know from where he wrote it?
Where he was when he wrote it? Well, I always heard the story that he was watching the Rockets' red glare. And
from the deck of the
boat. I think if our listener, the Raiders fan, doesn't get the answer now, it'll be very embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, guys. Right.
Should we give him a try?
Let's give him a try, Mark.
This contest is rigged.
I'll go ahead and take the mulligan here with Sir Francis Scott Key.
All right. I'm an idiot, and so is Danny.
So am I, yeah.
All right. I don't know why we're getting... I got my game wires crossed. Shall we see? Now, I thought we were going to guess. I guess what I thought is we're going to guess whether the guy knew it or not.
Well, do you think he knows it?
I'll do that with Mark. Mark, this will be an easy one for you. Do you think the Raider fan knows it?
Oh, man. Raider fans never fail to be dumb, but... Oh, God. I'm gonna say no. He does not know.
Does not know. Here we go.
Who wrote the Star Spangled Banner?
I think it was some woman. I don't know. But George Washington's wife? I don't know.
LA Unified School District.
Your
tax dollars hard at work, everybody.
Are you smarter and slightly more enthusiastic than a Raiders player?
All right. Yeah. Hey, Mark, I'm going to give you a big victory on that one and see if I can keep my soup cooler zipped on the next one, all right?
All right.
All right, here we go.
Who wrote A Midsummer Night's Dream?
That would be William Shakespeare.
All right, let's see if the Raiders fan knows it.
Who wrote A Midsummer Night's Dream?
Shakespeare?
Ooh.
Nice. Oh, nah. Is that the same dude in both of them? Because this kid's got some range.
Yeah, same guy.
Mm. Yeah.
Chewy, if you're listening, give a buzz. What's going on, Ole? All right, so you're 2-0 now, Mark. Let's go to the third one.
Which is the shortest month of the year?
Well, it would be the same as that, which has Black History Month. We're going February.
Throwing in a little extra bonuses. I like that.
Now, let me just explain how stupid I am. I probably didn't know that. What is there, 28 days? Is there 20? There's not 28 except in any
for,
other?
Except for every 4 years, there's 29.
Mm-hmm, because of leap year?
Yeah, which I don't get, but I don't get daylight savings
time. I'm not good with the days of the months either.
So February the least. All right, let's see if the Raiders fan knows.
Which is the shortest month of the year?
April.
Wow.
Well, that's not a biggie. It's not 31 in April, is there?
I'm pulling away, Adam.
You're flying, dude.
3-0. Let's keep it going.
Name the three states that share a border with California.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon, Nevada, and Arizona.
Very good.
Mark, you seem a little smart. What station were you listening to before you tuned over to us?
Mark and Brian.
Yeah.
Mark, what do you do for a living?
I didn't explain anything, did it?
Let's see. I'm sort of making up my mind on that. I'm actually looking to go into radio with you guys, but I was pre-law before that.
Well, actually, Mark, pre-law, one of the highest paid jocks in the world is a lawyer. And just sits out there and gives out legal advice in kind of a funny way.
I guess he's a lawyer?
No, a guy
from a floor wax out of Denver.
Yeah, that guy.
Right,
he's my favorite.
He does a lot of civil law.
You're talking about John Handel?
Is it Handel in the morning? Because I always get them confused.
Yeah.
Yes. He's like makes KFI. $5 million a year, that guy.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, and all he does is go, ah, you don't have a case. And then he says some funny stuff, and then somebody else calls and goes, ah, you don't have a case.
Yeah, but he probably gets the bulk of his money for doing a morning show, not the weekend Handle on the Law show.
No, that's his show every day.
Well, huh?
He does an entertainment show, but there's a segment every day, I believe, where people call up and ask if they have a case.
He does a weekend. I'm sure Jack is loving this about now.
The object of this game, who cares?
He does a weekend law show called Handle on the Law. But he does a morning show as well. That's where he gets paid. Now, he may do what I do, which is I do home improvement calls in my morning
right,
show.
Exactly.
Probably does that with the law shows. All right. Here we go. Where were we? Ah, yes. Hey, Mark.
Yes.
You're 3-0, right?
4-0.
4-0. You're beating the bejesus out of the Raiders fan. Let's not have you be one of these underachiever guys, Mark. I'm not talking about in this game, but I'm talking about the game of life. You're a bright guy.
Thank you, Adam. You know what? Right now, I feel like I have been sort of underachieving for years, but I took a little few years break after college because I wanted to spend some time with my
young
son. This is amazing.
Right.
A Raider fan.
All right. See if the Raiders fan knows the
Let's
answer.
See if the Raiders fan knows the answer to the question of what three states share a border with California.
Name the three states that share a border with California.
Nevada, Arizona, and Washington.
Oh, close.
Taking the honor out of victory.
All right, let's go on to our last question.
Who is the second president of the United States?
John Adams.
This guy's good. Hey, Mark, who's your football team?
The same as yours, Ms. Strasser, the San Francisco 49ers.
All right, sorry. Wow. Sorry.
Same city, smarter group. Yeah.
Oh, God, 7 in a row.
It hurts.
I know. They were off to a, what, 2-0 start? You were like, hey, look out for Frisco this year. Okay, everybody. Well, dare we even ask this to our Raiders fan? Let's do it.
Who is the second president of the United States?
John Adams.
Get.
Thomas Jefferson. I forgot.
Which one is it?
The
final answer.
John Adams.
Wow.
Range.
Yep.
I wouldn't have pulled that. I'd known he was one of the top three. I'm not good with the first
I wouldn't
ten.
Have pulled
second
that,
and fourth.
Wouldn't have pulled that one either. I know nothing about anything.
Second and fourth, right?
I don't. It sounds familiar, yeah.
Him and then his son. Like Bush 41 and Bush 43.
Again, you're talking to a guy who has almost no formal education whatsoever. Spent a
I don't care how you dress, dude. You know everything.
I spent a lot of time in ceramics class, cooking and sewing classes. Never took geography. Never learned what the capitals were. Did not know what the bordering states were. Didn't know what the presidents were. Didn't know any of that. Tons of ceramics, cooking, and sewing. Very important stuff that I'm falling back on today. I make a ton of money off ceramics, making ashtrays at Color Me Mine. All right. Do we have a wrap?
Oh, yeah.
God, they're dumb. Are you? Find out next time we play Are You Smarter Than a Raiders Fan?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Mazel tov to you.
And to you, my brother. Thank you.
You can go to the Raiders store and load up on Raiders gear, even though you're a 49ers fan.
Thank you.
But good
always
times.
Give to the idiots that I'm friends with.
Yes. Here's the whole thing. I will keep a couple of Raiders jerseys, maybe one of those helmets with the styrofoam spikes on it, just on me in case I run into some trouble people.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they start coming after me with chains and stuff, and I turn on them, and I'm like, fellas, I come bearing gifts. And
they're
like,
you.
They start sniffing the jersey. Smell, smell.
Where's my phone, you fat ass?
I smell Jerry Porter.
That,
okay. Yeah, Danny's handing me a pirate ring.
No, I did not. I had to do a Anaheim Ducks Stanley Cup ring.
Ah.
Because it's got a little skull-looking thing, so it fakes it as one of my pirate rings. But now I'm a sports guy. I can hang with the men.
Well, you don't have to worry about the Ducks fans. We need to take ourselves a break. Ah. You want to see what that ring looks like in person? That Anaheim Mighty Ducks ring looks like in person? Danny's going to be dispatching a little life coach advice. He's going to be at a booth at Hollywood and Highland in the next 25 to 20 minutes, I would say.
My first advice would have been, why make me come here? I live 50 feet from there.
Should have hashed that out yesterday. Hollywood and Highland is where Danny is going right now. Now, Danny, there is a kiosk for you. There's a booth for you.
I didn't label my charger, Adam. I don't know anything.
Yes,
you will find
Danny. The answer. Danny's going to hit the streets. He's going to hand out a little real life advice.
Now, these first episodes are things called like Brittany Explained and Lindsay Lohan and stuff like that. But I'm a real life coach. Look at my uniform today.
Right.
You know, I didn't really have one, so I'm just wearing camouflage. You might not find me.
Get on your knees.
You can also use your life. Should I break up with my boyfriend? Should I quit my job? I will help you through your life. I am here for you.
All right, so Danny, you're heading out to Hollywood and Highland. If people want to find you, if they're listening and you want to go press the flesh with the douche man and see that pirate jewelry up close, go to Hollywood and Highland and then ask him a question. I think we'll put you on the air, too.
Yeah, absolutely. If the bit starts sucking, we'll start drinking.
Yeah, good times. We'll take a quick break. Tea.
Yep.
We got your news coming when we come back?
We sure could.
Let's see. No, little premature. I think what we'll do is Danny will hit the road. I'll tell a story, and then we'll do the news on the next break.
Sounds good.
I'll be back. My other.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Minneapolis, Minnesota. A 36-year-old, a 43-year-old, and a 21-year-old man were arrested for trying to steal copper wire from underground electric lines. Police caught two men in a van and found the remaining man in a sewer with a hacksaw. Definitely not a Jew.
I found on CNN another definitely not a Jew candidate. Danny's on his way to Hollywood and Highland to dispatch some life advice. Before we get to the news, we'll get to this story. Other news. Watching CNN about 5 a.m. Again, I get up. I poach my eggs. Make my little rye toast. Molly comes over. Molly puts her chin on my thigh. That means she's done with her milk bone and she wants some of Papa's poached eggs. I don't give her any of those poached eggs until I'm done. I let her lick the plate. So she sits there and she does that thing where she puts her chin on my thigh and she goes, means she's bored and hungry. So when she realizes she's not going to get any food, she likes to stand by the back door and she likes to bark. But it's dark outside and I feel bad for the neighbors. And then I realize she's got to make a pee-pee.
Ah.
So then I say, Molly, I'm going to let you outside, but no barking. You make a pee-pee and you come right back inside. She gives me that. She gives me that.
Okay.
That means yes. One means yes. So, okay, Molly, so go outside. It's dark outside. It's 5 a.m. Everyone in the neighborhood's sleeping but me. Go outside, make a pee-pee, and you come right back into the house. She says, it's okay. Go outside. No barky. No barky. Now, her front half gets outside of the house, but her back half is still in the house. Her tail flies up, barking at nothing. Animals like to do that. I've arrived. You know what I mean?
Right, here I am.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, world.
And my whole point to her is, hey, baby, you're waking up the neighborhood. And her thing is, that's right.
Yeah, it's what I'm doing.
I'm letting people know this is my house and I'm up and I'm thinking about a number two.
None of this would have happened if you'd given me the poached eggs.
I'm for sure going to do the number one, but I've penciled in a number two. We'll see how it goes.
I don't know until I get out there, really, what
right.
I'm feeling.
I like to see which way the wind's blowing.
Hope you've got a lot of time.
So she immediately runs down the back stairs and starts with, ooh, 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 you know, and then running around on the lawn. Ooh, and then I'm doing the quiet, loud, the quiet scream.
How's that go?
Molly! Molly! No barky! No, but I don't know why I have to speak in a jumbled, retarded kid's cadence. The dog doesn't understand don't bark.
Right.
But no barky, no problem.
Right. It's simpler for the dog to understand barky.
If I said to the dog, if I said, hey, Molly, don't bark, that she wouldn't understand. But if I said, Molly, girl, no barky. Well, that she understand in a second. I've assumed she doesn't understand either way. I posed the question, but I say, or the comment, hey, Molly, no barky, no barky. And she barks and runs in a circle, and then eventually she makes a kiki. Then she does that peel-out thing with her paws.
Right.
Then she barks a little more, and then I yell, Borgy! But I'm yelling, but I'm doing a quiet yell. So now the neighbors have to hear not only Molly barking, but me sounding like I'm trying to pinch a loaf on a toilet and yell at someone through the door, Borgy! No barky!
It must be nice for your neighbors.
Yeah. Then she runs back in and licks the plate, and I get dressed. But I was watching.
You woke me up for.
I was watching CNN this morning, and I saw this interview with a guy who invented a Tesla coil. I don't know if you guys have seen these things. They shoot off sparks. They look like something from Frankenstein's lab. Yeah. He built one that's about two stories high in his backyard. And fire. Shoots out sparks that go 20 feet onto the ground or aluminum ladders or anything that's there. Do we have no, it's a long, boring interview, and that's why I brought it in. I just want you to hear the guy's response. He's alive. He's standing in front of his Tesla coil. But this is why the job of a news anchor is not always an easy one.
Talk about catching lightning in a bottle. Our next guest has gone above and beyond that. He built a machine to create lightning in his backyard. We should point out, you're not a scientist. You're a hobbyist. But why were you fascinated by this form of electricity?
I've just always been fascinated with lightning since I was a little kid.
And why did you decide to start building these instead of, you know, model boats or airplanes or something like that?
Everybody has to have a hobby, and this just be mine.
We've seen these tabletop size. They're popular for science projects, maybe even 6 feet tall. But what's behind you there looks like the mother of all Tesla coils. Why did you go that big?
I had the room and the resources, so I thought, why not?
I had the room and the resources. How many volts are you putting out there?
That's a ask question a lot. It's hard to really say. I would just estimate between 1 and 1.5 million volts.
A million and a million from and Beavis a half and volts. Butthead. Is that getting close to what we see in lightning?
No, it's quite a bit shy of real lightning.
Right. So how difficult is it to build something like that in your backyard?
What's that?
I said, how difficult is it to build something like that?
Well, it took 1 year to build this one particular coil right here. It was a little hard, but I managed to do it.
Right. You know, people might wonder, with all that electricity flying around, you've got the warning sign there right beside you. How dangerous is this?
Yep.
I got to look at your pre-flight checklist, if you will, and one of the things on it is make sure the dogs are in the house.
Right. Don't want them out.
Right. Well, how dangerous is it? I mean, if they were to get in proximity to that machine, would they be electrocuted?
Wow, this is painful.
Yeah, yes, they would.
Wow. And you also have in your checklist no pacemakers. What's the reason for that?
Just in case it might interfere or cause a problem with pacemakers.
Can you trigger the machine for us now and let us see what it looks like?
No, that's fun.
Oh, okay.
Hey, could you throw me into the machine so I could end this miserable existence of mine?
That looks like something right out of Young Frankenstein, and I know that in the Broadway production of that program, they actually have a small one of those, don't they?
I'm not sure what size they use.
Not a big fan of Young Frankenstein.
Not a huge Mel Brooks fan.
Yeah,
I mean, you grew up on a steady diet of Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein and the producers.
That's what I would have thought.
Stating they saw a power line.
Hey, where are the white women at?
They came to investigate.
Are people pretty used to it by
now? All right, I've had enough. It's too painful for Teresa as a journalist to listen to.
I've had many of those. You just don't know.
Well, here's the thing. If you think it's a good idea to dedicate a good portion of your life to building a 18-foot Tesla coil in your backyard, you're probably not great at chatting up the ladies.
Yeah, a pre-interview would have been useful with this particular, you know, human interest guest. Maybe get a feeling for, maybe prep him on what he might be asked.
I feel so sorry for the anchor. It's not even the guy. It's not, well, maybe it's me too, but I just love that. Like, what's wrong with other hobbies? Not about any other hobbies? Nope. This one's mine. And when people ask questions, they would like answers, wouldn't they?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like when someone says, how come this hobby, this one's my hobby? Not quite what the viewing public is looking for. Anyway, very uncomfortable, but fun to watch. Anyway, the Dooch Man is heading down to Hollywood and Highland Tea.
Yep.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, some breaking information on the death of Kanye West's mom, and
hold
also
on. I'm still laughing about the size of the coil used in the Mel Brooks play Young Frankenstein. I hear they use a smaller one on Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein. I don't know what size it is. Thank you.
People are rednecks.
He doesn't head out to the Great White Way that often. Shocker. All right. I saw this cat behind me in Wicked.
Oh, yeah.
Said he'd seen 27 straight showings. Wasn't
can't
about
enough
to leave. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Sorry. Kanye West.
Kanye West's mom, she died, obviously, over the weekend, but there's some new information about that coming to light this morning, and also why this classic movie is back in the news.
Oh, yes!
Harry Met Sally. Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with the news next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning, a visit from comedian and Simpsons writer Dana Gould.
Good evening, I'm Dana Gould from America. Scree!
Teresa's partner on the TV Guide channel, John Fugelsang. We'll check in with Danny as he gives life advice to regular everyday Southern Californians and see what pissed Adam off last week as we count down Last Week in Rage.
I like to dance a jig on your grave.
All that plus the news with Teresa Strasser, and Danny will say a lot of things that don't really seem to make much sense. But he's got a microphone.
Super Dave Osborne, who blows himself up, yeah, calls me crazy.
866-901-ADAM. It's the greatest show in the world. The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Awesome. The Dooch Man on his way to Hollywood and Highland. He's going to be manning a booth over there, giving out life advice.
I waited for you, man.
All right, T.
Yep.
What's in the news, baby girl?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
As you know, Kanye West's mom died on Saturday following a tummy tuck and breast reduction. There's news coming out now that a Beverly Hills doctor named Andre Aboulian refused to conduct the surgery because of a medical condition that West had. Now, TMZ is reporting that just weeks before Donda West died, this plastic surgeon refused to perform procedures on her. And what did she do? According to TMZ, she went to a different surgeon. This is a man named Dr. Jan Adams. He did, in fact, perform the surgery on Kanye West's mother. He is saying that her death following the tummy tuck and breast reduction was unforeseen, could have been caused by a heart attack, a pulmonary embolism, or massive vomiting. He's saying that he and West consulted over a period of 4 months and that she changed her mind numerous times, sometimes greenlighting the surgery, sometimes halting it. But according to this other doctor in Beverly Hills, Dr. Aboulian, she refused to have an internist examine her before the procedure. Mm-hmm. He was insisting on it, so she just went to a different doctor.
Look, this is one of those tragic situations that we can all feel good about because we're not getting a tummy tuck and a breast reduction. I'm going to get one breast reduced, but I'm not going with both, and I'm leaving the tummy as it is. As human beings, we're like a scared little tribe of animals, and when somebody gets killed, like when you hear about Kanye West, and you hear about if her mom was just driving along and some thug pulled her out of her car and shot her point blank, we'd all be freaked out. And if she died in a commercial airliner, we'd all be a little freaked out. As long as it was a place we flew. If it was to Thailand, we wouldn't care. But if it was to Chicago, we'd be freaked out.
Right.
But if you kill yourself, we're not freaked out. Because you did that to yourself.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen to me unless I choose to do it. So it's all how you go. We'll give you our level of how freaked out we are by what is done. And this is one of those, no one ever says it, but elective surgery she brought on herself. We're not that freaked out. Sad,
well,
but we're not nearly as freaked out as if you heard she was asleep in her condominium and a guy kicked in the door and strangled her.
It's especially sad because what it would seem like from what's been reported so far is that she could have had medical clearance before she had this procedure, but for some reason she didn't. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had surgery, but they make you, you know, they give you a once over. They take your blood and they check you out to make sure that you're ready to have a surgery.
Yeah. No,
seems
I have.
She didn't want to do that.
Here's the problem.
She didn't.
Well, as I said many times with the medical profession, they're inconsistent and there's tons of things. And we don't know if it's necessary or not. You know, they do that thing where they go, no eating, past midnight the night before.
Yeah.
Midnight. That's the cutoff. No fluids, no solid food past midnight. Well, I have gotten that when I had some dental surgery scheduled for 9 a.m. the next morning. And yeah. I also, when I got my hernia surgery scheduled for 5 in the evening. That is a full 8 hours from 9 to 5. You know what I mean? Technically, I should have been able to eat until 7 in the morning when right. I got the hernia surgery, but they never do that. They just go midnight.
Yeah.
And then what happens is you start doing your own math.
Right.
You go, can I not have the Vicodin and drink? Is it going to kill me or is it just going to heighten the buzz? In which case, I'll take my chances. So there's lots of stuff the medical community does that we ignore now because we've just decided some for some bureaucrat, some insurance adjuster, and we don't really need to do it. And some of the stuff, I guess we need to do.
Yeah, and you don't know. You're right. I recently had an MRI. And do you know that you have to get a blood test before getting an MRI now?
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Here's what they told me. They injected a dye into my blood so they could see better. And apparently some people, if their kidneys aren't functioning well, their kidneys can't deal with this dye. So they want right. to make sure your kidney function is fine. And I asked the MRI tech, how important is this? And she said, listen, there's a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of people
right.
who are on dialysis
right.
whose kidneys can't handle it.
Right.
So now everyone has to take this
right.
blood test.
And so what we do is we start ignoring this stuff and eventually it comes and bites you in the ass, or at least 1% of the time it does. And this is that 1% of the time.
Right.
All I want is underpants. That's all I
when
want.
When you're in the hospital?
When I'm in the hospital, I just want my underpants.
That seems like the least they can do.
I just don't want my egg. I don't want to get the hand surgery and have my ball sack hanging out everywhere.
Hell yeah.
Just want my underpants. That's all.
Well, this doctor who performed the surgery, Dr. Jan Adams, you may have seen him on TV. He's on the Discovery Health Network. He does that show, Plastic Surgery Before and After. Have you ever
mm-hmm.
seen that?
Yes.
And he worked with Danny Bonaducci on The Other Half. So Danny says he has some information on this doctor, and we'll talk to him about that later.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he's out at Hollywood and Highland waiting
mm-hmm.
To give you life coaching.
Mm-hmm.
The Writers Guild, still on strike. Today, they're calling it Picketing with the Stars. About mm-hmm. 100 actors from about 30 shows are set to picket at Universal beginning at noon, according to the Writers Guild. Some of the stars include Bill Paxton from Big Love, Nicolette Sheridan from Desperate Housewives, George Lopez from The George Lopez Show, and Ray Romano. Here, Ray Romano is discussing the writer's strike on Access Hollywood.
I'm in the Writers Guild, and I sat with writers every day for 9 years on my show. You know, some of them smell and some of them are drunk, but you can't do it without them.
They need the somber tech music to play in the background.
That was a somber version of the...
Yeah, normally it's a highfalutin one when they're talking about Anna Nicole, but when Romano gets serious about the writer's strike, you have to play the somber. Like, you know, at a funeral.
Right.
You might play some very somber, moody house music
in
the background.
Do they make bagpipe? Tech.
This could be Pat O'Brien's funeral.
He lived a long life.
He was a great man. Thank God his mustache has relocated to the Oregon area and started a family. That's right. Married one of the Just for Men models and is starting anew. Pat O'Brien dead at 74.
The insider.
That'll be missed. Laura? More from you at the mausoleum?
Yeah.
How's it going over there, Laura?
I'm reporting live from the mausoleum.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of celebs out here.
Mm.
To see the insider go down.
We got
to
break in. We got Britney's casket hump. Is she carrying a corpse in that casket or not? Insiders say yes. We'll be back with that.
This really would be P.O.B.'s funeral.
So I think that's the way he wants it, yeah.
Some of the other stars expected to join the strikers include Ben Stiller, Lisa Kudrow, and Cameron Manheim.
Mm, get out there, get some autographs.
Yeah, no new talks scheduled. Daily TV talk shows have been hit very hard by the strike, and many other programs have also stopped production without writers to provide dialogue. Ellen DeGeneres, though, still going strong.
Mm. Well, she went back to do her show because she has fans. Right. The other shows don't have fans. Sure. I think she made that clear. She had to go back because of her fans.
Letterman doesn't have fans?
No.
Kimmel, Stewart, Colbert?
No. None of those other shows have fans. Yeah. Only Ellen has fans, so she has a weightier responsibility than those other fellas.
It's not for her.
They don't understand. They go to a show every day to just stare at empty folding chairs and no, and just the people at home who watch the Jon Stewart show, they just watch the Indian head on there with that with that sound tone going through it. So they don't want, he has no fans anywhere.
Right.
He's going to be hosting the Oscars. He's just doing that to see if he can get some kind of fan base.
He's trying to drum up a couple
big
fans.
Stage, right.
Yeah.
So everyone else just sits there in a studio that's filled with cobwebs and empty folding chairs and cameras with big black towels and sheets draped over them. And Ellen has fans. So she has to do a show because she has to satiate her fans. But she respects the writers. She stands in solidarity with them. They're her brothers.
Right.
So she decided to do her monologue from a different place where she normally stands.
Right.
I think that's enough.
That's solidarity.
It's more than enough. Look, T.
Yeah.
If we were married.
Yeah.
And we just had kids.
Right.
And I said, look, I want a divorce. I want to kick you and the youngster out of the house.
Right.
And I'm nailing some of your friends.
Right.
If I did it sitting here, it would be a slap in the face.
Yeah, it would.
But if I moved 8 feet to my right and stood over there, totally different vibe.
No big deal.
Nothing. No harm, no foul, right?
Right. It's not okay. What you did. It's where you're sitting
it's
when
where
you tell
you're
me.
Standing. Ellen didn't stand on the mark that she delivers her monologue from. People, you understand? She stood somewhere else in the studio and did her show. That's the tip of the cap. As a matter of fact, you know what? I think that's too much.
She went too far.
She went too
in
far.
Solidarity.
She set the bar too high for all the other guys that, you know what I mean? If you're Letterman or you're Kimmel, you're Stewart, you're all the other guys who aren't working, you're looking at Ellen going, I can't match that.
What are they going to do their show from the roof of the studio?
Yeah, well, who are we, the Beatles? I'm not going to be able to stand somewhere else. My writers are going to want me to stand somewhere else, and I won't be able to deliver. But look, she cares about her fans. She's doing the show. She cares about her writers. She stood somewhere else in the studio right. When she did her show. I think you've taken care of both groups. Nice job.
God bless her.
I wish there were more people like Ellen. I really do. The strike would be over immediately.
It's not already.
Be over tomorrow if there were more hosts like Ellen.
Show business is going to shut down when hosts don't sit or stand on their mark.
T?
That's going to shut it down.
You know what? Let's just move on because I think you just hit it right there.
I know. Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the Oscars. Billy Crystal, famous for hosting the Oscars, among other things.
Mm.
He was awarded the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor, which is presented annually by the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, to an individual who has made a significant contribution to American humor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you know, he's teamed up with the director Rob Reiner on several movies, including Spinal Tap, Princess Bride, and, of course, When Harry Met Sally. Now, the famous orgasm scene, Meg Ryan, they're having a discussion, Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan.
Right.
Billy Crystal thinks that women can't fake orgasms.
Right.
So Meg does this.
Oh,
yes. Oh. Are you okay?
Oh. Oh, God. Ooh. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, yeah, right there. Oh, God. Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Okay, someone
yes.
had to write this.
Yes.
See what I'm saying?
Oh.
Famous line coming
yes.
out.
Yes.
If this was Ellen, she'd do it from a different booth
yes.
to show her solidarity.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Still going.
Yes! Oh!
I'm waiting!
Me too. Oh. I forgot it was this long.
Oh, God.
It's a station for guys, Brian.
Oh.
I'll have what she's having.
Famous line.
Yeah.
The old lady in the back of the diner. But how did they come up with that line? Here, Rob Reiner describes.
My mother is the one who says, I'll have what she's having. Billy came up with that line, and we said, well, who should we get? You need somebody who would be right for a deli, an older Jewish woman. Who should it be? And Billy suggested my mother to play the part. And she delivers the line. It gets the biggest laugh in the movies, the biggest laugh of any movie I've ever done. And that line, I'll have what she's having, becomes one of the top 100 most memorable lines in American Film Institute history.
Inconceivable!
This is where I would love to end up.
Where?
My plan.
You want to win the Mark Twain Prize?
I don't care. Oh, here's what I'd like to do. I would like to join this Toastmasters group who loses some hair, packs on about 80 pounds. This is where I'd love to be. I just want to pack on about 80, 90 pounds, lose a bunch of hair, grow some funky facial hair to kind of cover up my pumpkin-sized head that has grown to 10-gallon size, and then just sit there and wax poetic about the day. And I'll just sit up there, and like James Lipton will be presiding over something, and I'll be part of a panel, and I'll have Chris Rock on one side of me, and Ben Stiller on the other, and I'll just be scratching my huge belly, and I'll be like, I remember where I was when I came up with, are you smarter than a douchebag? and then the audience will be delighted. And
right,
because
that changed popular culture.
Oh, they'll be on the edge of their seats, and they'll be hanging on every syllable, and I'll just be scratching my fat gut and stroking my weird facial hair. It's great. I want to do that. I'm serious. You know, I sound like I'm busting Rob Reiner's balls, but I'm not. It's great. As a comedian, you just get as fat and ugly as you want, and you talk, and everyone hangs on every word. And even if you're not that funny now, it doesn't matter. You're talking about 30 years ago when you were funny, so right. Everyone remembers that. And they're all your fans out there.
What's your favorite curse word?
Oh, be great.
And, of course, you know, Rob Reiner will always be beloved for Spinal Tap.
Oh,
everybody loves that
great
movie.
Great movie. Just quickly, piece of advice I give out every time we talk about the fake orgasm.
Oh.
T, I know you've peeled off a few of these back in the day.
I haven't, I swear. I don't get
really?
The point of this. What's the point? You're only cheating yourself, just like cheating on a test.
Here's the point. It's Sunday night. It is 8:52. And Grey's Anatomy starts in 7.5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you mean before TiVo? Did I have to?
Yes.
That's different.
Because I'm trying to think how many before TiVo. And by the way, I'm an atheist, so for me, there's BT.
BT, right.
That's right.
Not BC.
No, there's before TiVo.
Your Christ is TiVo.
That's right. I worship that little Martian with the antennas.
I was wondering why you're wearing that weird necklace.
Yeah.
Golden TiVo.
As a matter of fact, I'd like you to come by the house on Saturday. I have some friends. I'm going to come over and I'd just like to talk to you about TiVo for a little bit. I'd like to share the good news.
But I'm Jewish.
It's okay. We can cleanse you of that. My swimming pool. If you float up to the surface after 10 minutes, it means you're pure. And
right.
We can take you into our cult. The point is, before TiVo, I wonder if women fake their orgasms more to see certain shows. They all had your shows. They're on Sunday night.
Stories.
You start getting a little frisky about 8:30, about 8:45, and you want to get to your stories. But if you do fake an orgasm, ladies, and a lot of you do, and God bless you, I put you right into the same group. I put you right in the same group as the ass kissers and the brown nosers.
Right.
I used to be the boss. I remember what it was like to walk in the office, have some guy say, hey, boss, looking good. You lost
you like
some
it.
Weight. And then I'd go to my office and Kim would go, you know, that guy's just kissing your ass. And I'd go, good. Let's give him a raise.
Still feels good.
It feels better.
Yeah.
You don't kiss the ass of somebody who you don't want to try to impress. Point is this. You fake that orgasm. It's the tip of the panties to the ace man. It's the greatest gift you can give. If you do fake the orgasm, hold one back. Every between 8 and 12, hold one back.
Just say, I'm not feeling it tonight.
Not feeling it. I was watching Oprah this morning.
Yeah.
They had that Iraqi kid with no face.
I can't.
And I can't.
It's not you.
And I can't.
My
it's
mind
not
is
you.
Spinning.
I'm thinking
focus.
About the Doctors Without Borders, and I can't. I can't. I got orgasms without borders. I can't rein it in.
Well, what if somebody doesn't fake it, but they just throw a little pepper into it? You know what I mean? They just maybe act like it's a little bit better than it is.
You do that between 3 and 5 times out of the 10 you fake. But one, hold it back and go, couldn't do it. No one will ever, ever accuse you of faking it if you don't fake it once out every 9.5 times. All right, T, sorry, go ahead. But Billy Crystal.
Mm-hmm. Now, recently, tasers have been in the news, and I know you don't like to hear this clip.
Don't tase me, bro! Don't tase me! Ow! Ow!
Mm-hmm. That guy was getting tased by the cops.
Breaks my heart.
Good times. Mm-hmm.
For busting the balls of John Kerry. Now, did you know you could get your own personal taser?
I do know that because Jimmy's cousin Sal got his own personal taser when we were doing the Man Show and tased every single human being who worked in the office.
I had no idea you could buy one of these. Now, apparently there are taser parties. They're like Tupperware parties for ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy one of these tasers for self-defense. You can host a party.
Let's tase Pat O'Brien's corpse. See if we can reanimate it.
What do you think if it was reanimated? Do you think it would just throw to commercial? Or what would it do? You know, just like a chicken with its head cut off, it would keep going.
It'd be weird because his corpse would be lying there and you'd hit it with the taser and he'd just pop up in his coffin and you'd go,
I was loaded out of my mind.
Brittany, baby, watch it. And he'd just fall right back down. Then he'd just sit there for a second and you'd zap him again with the taser. He'd pop up and you'd be like, Jalen, Mark Anthony out of the tour. And he'd just fall back in his thing again.
One more tase.
Zap him one more time and he'd just go, out of the tour. And he'd slap right back down again.
The one good thing for P.O.B. about dying is he might be able to get that one last interview with Ann Rickle.
What? Last interview. I go into the great beyond interview Ann and Nicole. I've actually killed myself and a crew. We're heading up to, we're not going up?
What?
What? Get my agent on the phone. We're going through a porthole Benedictine monks have hidden for thousands of centuries atop of Mount Benedicto over there. We'll slide in. We have a 48-hour window to get me and the crew in there. We're going to go through the River Styx, and then we're going to sit down and sit on a flaming rock and interview Anna Nicole.
I feel like if P.O.B. did die, Laura Spencer would have something to do with it. Sure, she's all smiles.
I'm going to dive into this pot of perdition here. I'm going to go into the great beyond. I'm going to, anything you want to say to Beelzebub, Delara? No?
No.
All right, let me just pack up a 55-gallon drum of Grecian formula and I'm on my way.
Wow.
P.O.B. Live from Purgatory, P.O.B.'s here. Laura, it's hotter than Hades out here. Anna Nicole's going to be on the blower. And coming up next, hard-hitting interview with one of Charlie Sheen's deceased prostitutes. That's coming up, too.
I heard you have a very special hard-hitting interview with Adolf Hitler.
I have the Fuhrer himself. He's going to be goose-stepping into the studio here in, where are we? Hades? No, Purgatory. That's right. We're going to be out here. We're going to be doing the show from Purgatory all week long. It sweeps.
That doesn't stop Pat O'Brien from reporting.
No.
Nothing will.
Nothing.
Unless they run out of Grecian formula.
Mm-hmm.
A personal taser called the C2 sells for about $350.
Mm-hmm.
Can fire darts more than 15 feet. Deliver 50,000 volts of electricity. It's completely legal to own.
Look, the thing about people being tased and pepper sprayed and all this, here's what I feel about it. We used to have nightsticks and we had bullets. And we would shoot people and beat the crap out of people. And somebody said, you're breaking bones and you're killing people. So we need to come up with some non-lethal force. So somebody came up with a zap of electricity that incapacitated people. I've had it done to me. And not the handheld one. I'm talking about the one with the fish hooks on it. It incapacitates you. It's the same with the pepper spray. But if you want to go wider on it, I'll go the same with waterboarding. The whole idea is I don't want to kill anybody. I want them to talk.
Right.
I don't want to kill anybody. I want to get them out of harm's way or get them out of the auditorium where they're badgering the guy who's running for president. I don't want to kill anyone. I don't want to break any bones. I want to get information about terrorist activity, and I want to get some college student into the paddy wagon without causing any permanent damage. These are ways to facilitate that. Why are we so uptight about it? I mean, how big of pussies do we have to be? I mean, could you imagine explaining this to guys from the 20s? You want to talk about some guys that were picketing back in the 20s, some Teamsters or whatever. They turn a fire hose on you and then they'd open fire.
Sure, they take a baseball bat to your knees if you cross
the
line.
look, everybody, it's a momentary shock. It's a momentary zap with the pepper. Or you're some Al-Qaeda guy and you think you're drowning, so you talk. But the good news is you're not. You're not dying. You're not drowning. You're not breaking any bones. And you're in one piece.
Now this
I don't mind
taser,
it at all.
How big is this personal taser? Does it fit like in a pocketbook? Could I carry it around?
No, it has a trailer mount. You have to drive a dually and drag it behind you.
It doesn't seem very practical.
Well, when you're jogging through the park at night, you just get your trailer rig and you hook up you have to have brake lights on
right.
It. Reverse. No, it's the pocket size. This is probably the same size as the one the cops have.
Oh, well, if you want one, you can find one at Taser International. Or you can throw yourself a taser party with all your girlfriends. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. CNN.
All right. The Dooch Man is out at Hollywood Highland. It says Danny's there and ready to call back. But I'm not sure what I do. Just make the call for Danny to call?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All right, Danny, if you're listening, give us a call. Danny's at Hollywood Highland. I guess we got a booth set up over there. He's going to give out some life advice. Dana Gould. Yeah. I love Dana Gould. Super funny Dana Gould comedian. Is going to be here in a second. I think he is already here. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Danny, find out how the advice is going. We'll have Dana Gould in studio next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
Have you seen the teenage panhandlers out in front of the record store? Couldn't he change? What? Couldn't he change? Some 17-year-old kid, bunch of tattoos, leather jacket, pierced nose. Goody change. Yes. I thought it took time to become a bum. I didn't know you could rocket right into it. You have to attain grace before you fall from it. You can't retire until you've worked.
And now comedian Dana Gould is on The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, Dana, I think you can be homeless at any age. And then from bum, the cutoff should be at least 35. You shouldn't be able to be a bum until you hit 36 years of age. But hobo, you got to get in your early 60s.
Yeah, well, hobo is a job. I mean, hobo, you have a bindle.
You've got to ride the rails.
Yeah, you have to make sure you have access to beans. There's a lot of stuff.
Well, when things get really lean, you have to eat your shoe.
Oh, yeah.
That was my favorite line in all. They were talking about the Rob Reiner line in that movie, I'll Have What She's Having. My favorite movie line was in Ironweed, where the hobos are sitting in the train car, and one hobo looks at Jack Nicholson and says, pretty good shoes. And he goes, yeah. And the guy just goes, I'm going to cut off your feet.
Bring the kids. Hey, Danny Bonaducci is down at Hollywood Highland.
It. All right, I'll see you.
Danny Gould at a comedy festival coming up sometime in November. Hey, Danny.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
What's happening?
Well, you know that I am Danny Bonaducci, life coach. You can go to CBS.com. You can watch it on his friend phone, all that stuff.
Yes.
But you know how I got this job, right?
Oral on Jack Silver?
Yeah, that's what happened. No, I have made so many mistakes and recovered from them.
Oh, this job, right.
That I would make a great life coach.
Sure.
But once again, I have failed to think in advance, but learned from my lesson. For example, you introduced my life coach booth.
Right.
Do you know what my life coach booth consists of?
I'm going to go with a cocktail napkin.
Close enough. You know those kids that sit outside Hollywood and Highland and play drums on trash cans?
Mm-hmm.
I found two of their trash cans.
You're just standing on those things.
I'm sitting on a trash can, and the next person who needs life coaching will also be sitting on a trash can, and that is the Danny Bonaducci Life Coach Booth.
Now, has anyone come down and visit the Danny Bonaducci Life Coach Booth?
There are plenty of people here at the Life Coach Booth. If anybody would like to step up to the plate, even as we speak, if you would like, we can start life coaching right now.
Is anyone not wearing a soiled hoodie?
Hey, Danny.
Yeah.
Do you have somebody stepping up to the bar there?
I have so many people. This young lady right here. Sorry to sit down, ma'am. Pull up a trash can. When was the last time you heard a gentleman say that to you? Come on, sit down. Pull up a trash can.
I'll be first.
Your name is?
My name is Dana.
Dana?
Yeah.
And what would your question about your life be or how to improve it?
Well, my father has a slight problem with the guy that I'm dating.
Mm-hmm. And that they're in love?
I'm sorry?
Are your father and the guy you're dating in love?
No.
What is the problem?
My boyfriend is white.
Your boyfriend is white, and that is a problem for your father. Yes. He thinks you should date only within your race.
I can hear okay. She's Asian over the phone.
I'm sorry?
What nationality is the young lady?
What nationality is she? Does African-American count as a nationality, or do I have to know the exact country of origin?
Good enough. So she's black, he's white.
She's black, he is white, correct.
And black dad doesn't like dating whitey. I like that.
Well,
refreshing.
I didn't even ask that question yet. Is
well, then
dad
that would...
white? No. Your dad is not white. Look at that, Adam. You got to keep up a part of these in a life, coach, buddy.
Yeah,
so
well, I'm just doing the math.
White, but you're black. But he doesn't like your boyfriend being white. Okay, do I have the problem straightened out? Although I have a question. How'd your dad end up white? Did he start off black and grow out of it?
There was a process.
There's a process. Okay, good enough. Here is the answer. No problem at all. Act ultra white around your dad. Eat only white foods. If somebody offers you collard greens, you go, ew, what are those? They take like mucus. They've got all that slimy stuff on them. Ham hocks, what is that? And never say B. Don't ever say hemlocks. What do those be? Don't do that. Say, excuse me, hemlocks, they sound awful. And by the way, what is a hawk of a ham? And once your dad realizes how much he hates white people, he will want you to either come back to your own race and date anyone you wish as long as you don't act white any longer. Any man will be acceptable to you. As long as you don't act like the race he dislikes the most.
Danny, I got a better idea.
Yeah.
Why don't you just go home with her and say, have Dana say, I want you to meet my new boyfriend, Danny Bonaducci.
And oh, well, you know what? I have a partner on this radio show named Adam Kroll. Do you know Adam?
Yeah, I
love Adam myself. He has come up with some other ideas. My idea is to act pathetically white, so he just can't stand the thought of it.
No, I see. I say the dad will be begging to get the old white boyfriend back when the douche man shows up smoking with the pirate jewelry on.
It's like you're here, my friend.
You rev the Harley, you have a cigarette lit, and you yell, baby, we're going to Sacramento on a fun run. Now climb aboard. And by the way, I didn't bring an extra helmet, so when we go by the overpass, just duck.
Watch the throw.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, just show up and say, the Santa Anas are blowing, but I still want hot chocolate.
Well, I was going to say to her father, the Santa Anas are blowing, but so is your kid. But I want to work my way into his heart.
And
so
then
here's my partner's come up with this idea. There's nobody as white or as dislikable as myself. Why don't I take you home? You introduce me as your new boyfriend.
Scared.
And you can refer to me as
your new boyfriend. Do you want to play two?
You
can't
hurt you.
This is my new boyfriend, Jack White. Jack White, my dad. And I will drive him so out of his mind with my cigarettes, my pirate jewelry, and my concentrating of rock stars that he will beg you to get Whitey back. Is that not a good idea? You show home with me? No, wait. If we get to your house... If it's any distance from here, is there anything in it for the life coach? Because I don't accept money, but I do accept tips.
Definitely not funny.
Well, you know, you can come home with me. I'm in the San Fernando Valley. I'm close.
Dude, got a chick from the Valley. My first score. Good morning.
Hey, Danny.
Yes, sir.
Are you seriously going to go to the San Fernando Valley with this chick?
Where do you have to be right now?
I need to go to Englewood, actually.
You need to go to Englewood? That's where they keep the black people?
Yes, it is.
Oh, Danny, wait a minute. We were all thinking that, but you can't say that.
He already said the ham hock thing.
You think that I can say it, so shut up. You round-eyed devil.
All right, so... she's going to Inglewood. You're not going to San Fernando. We're going to Hell in the Basket.
Do you feel that if I go home with you, as white as can be, smoking your house, that your father will crave your white boyfriend back?
I think he will.
I think it's relative.
Danny Bonaducci, life coach, one out of one, which I don't care how few it is. That's 5,000, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, hold on a second. Good luck. There's the adage. Is it's the white devil you know. That's
right.
Basically what I'm working with here. She's going to crave the old boyfriend.
I want to shower like Glenn Close on the Jagged Edge.
Please try your call again later.
I'm thinking more like Silkwood.
You want to take the rape shower where you don't stand up in it?
Oh, that
sit. You know you've been contaminated when you sit in the shower
That's
floor.
That's Glenn Close in The Big Chill.
Yeah, oh, yes.
It all goes back to Glenn Close.
It does.
Yeah.
It's a bath you take in a shower.
Who's starting to look like Mrs. Doubtfire, by the way?
I know.
Glenn Close?
Yeah.
Something's happened.
All right. Bonaducci is over at Hollywood and Highland doing a little life coaching. Dana Gould is in studio. Dana, quickly before we go to break, we'll certainly keep you around for the next one. The writer strike. You wrote for The Simpsons for many years.
I go right to a picket line from here.
You do.
Are you going to Universal?
I'll be Universal.
Mm-hmm.
Right
from here. That's my shift. We have two teams.
Mm-hmm.
The morning shift is the ink-stained wretches, and the afternoon shift is the Jaguars.
Now, I was talking to a lot of my writer buddies from Kimmel, and they say some people do the 9 to 1 p.m. shift, and then some do the 1 to 5.
Yeah, those have switched. They're now 6 to 10, 10 to 1, because the hope is that the Teamsters won't cross. Some Teamsters have the option to not cross a picket line, but there has to be a picket line.
I see.
The writers will picket when they show up.
Isn't it true that most writers got into writing because they didn't feel like getting up at 5:45 in the morning?
That's a big part of it. There's also a funny observation is that, you know, the Screen Actors Guild is picketing with us. And all the Writers Guild T-shirts are large and extra, extra large.
all the SAG
T-shirts are smalls and mediums.
Also, some of your slogans have been more clever.
Yes.
Than your average picket.
My favorite was Sarah Silverman told me a great slogan last night, which is just, don't be a pube.
Doesn't rhyme with anything. All right, we will take ourselves a break. Dana Gould in studio.
I'm going to cut off your feet.
The comedy festival is where you can find Dana cutting off the feet of the audience members in the front row this Saturday, November 17th at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. Geez, this is going to be huge. I was just in Vegas on Sunday, saw billboards everywhere. We'll take a quick break. Back with Dana Gould next.
Hey, it's Milhouse. Hi, I'm giving a shout out to Adam Carolla. And no, you're not my secret boyfriend. You might be my boyfriend, but it's not a secret anymore.
Voiceover animation, the animation is very funny until you meet the people that do the voices, and then it becomes very sad.
Really?
And macabre and morose.
Are they more depressing than comedians?
Yeah, I would say Dana Gould here, all the great years with The Simpsons, and now the great years at home. but good quality years with the family. Now, Dana Gould's going to be at the Comedy Festival this Saturday, November 17th at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, 8 p.m. Dana, what about all the voiceover folks at The Simpsons? Do you notice a difference between your average voiceover comedian and just your average comedian?
There's three. There's the team that does The Simpsons are kind of like the Beatles of voiceovers. There's Hank and Dan and all those people.
Right.
They've got it down. And they're all in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, you know, happy and healthy. Whistling on their way into work.
It's a good gig.
It's a sweet gig.
The girl who plays Bart, I've interviewed her, but her name's escaping me.
Nancy Cartwright.
Right. She's a very sweet woman.
She's nuts, though, right?
Well, she's a Scientologist, I believe. I don't know if that's synonymous with nuts.
No, but it helps.
Oh, no, I think it is.
It helps. You got to watch out what you say about the Scientology people.
Sue.
Well, I was told very early in radio that I would have my life ruined if I said anything bad about Scientology.
Yeah. Yes.
I've been told.
And Drew called it a cult or something. And we were sent a script from Scientology. And the plan was I was going to bring up the next day via the script, although the audience wasn't going
to
know we had a script. Had a script for me and a script for Dr. Drew. And I was going to say, "Say, Drew, remember last evening when we were doing the show and you called Scientology a cult? Well, I looked into it a little closer, and it turns out it's not a cult at all." And then Drew would say, "Tell me more." And they actually expected us to read scripted sort of apology / retraction, but it would be in a script form, and they sent it to us.
Did you read it?
No. I called them druids and laughed at them and then did a simulated ass-wiping ceremony with the script.
I don't know if you've been haven't given this talk, Dana, but when I was writing for Comedy Central, we were told there were two entities that we could never make fun of, and that was Scientology and Lane Bryant.
Both
of
really?
Quick to
really?
Sue.
Can't make fun of fat chicks?
Can't use the Lane Bryant name.
How about a fat Scientologist that like Kirstie Alley?
Oh,
what
no.
if you combine the two?
She ate her thetans. That's another option that they have.
Look, I've said this about Scientology, and I'll say it about any religion. I am an atheist. I like any religion that doesn't advocate blowing up Whitey. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go do what
there
you want to do, go knock
you
go knock yourself
morning.
Out.
T-vology.
Agnostics and T-vologists, the ones who worship the TiVo so
right.
far. And even we have a subsect that is looking, that is angry and looking to lash out at
right.
the government.
And how Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the little TiVo Martian, you know who his father is, of course. The Great Kazoo.
Ed McMahon. That's right, the Great Kazoo.
Hello,
from
dum-dum.
The Flintstones. Hello, dum-dum. A gay nymph was introduced in season 8 who would grant him
wings.
This will save this guy's the Ted McGinley of animated characters. Oh, dum dum.
He was actually brought in season 7 of ER to kind of pump that one up.
It's an aneurysm,
dum dum.
The great kazoo being introduced in the Flintstones must have been a weird pitch at the writers' meeting. We're like season 7, things are a little bit stale. How about if Wilma gets pregnant with twin dinosaurs? No! Better idea.
Yeah.
Gay alien.
No, yeah. It started this way. Gay midget, no. Who floats? I'm listening.
Dana Gould in studio. I wanted to say this about the good people from Scientology before they go through my garbage. I have no problem with it. I know everyone thinks they're insane. I don't know enough about it. I don't know how it works. I do know this. Tom Cruise and John Travolta seem like the two happiest MFers on the planet. And every time I want to make fun of them, and I do want to make fun of them, I realize they just got back from Australia where John piloted the DC-9.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Tom was his wingman flying in his vintage P-51 Mustang. They went there with their wives. They had a bunch of great sex. And then they came back and kissed their kids. And they... I don't know if a chip was put in their brain. I don't know what worked, but I'm saying give me a ladle of that punch.
Well, you know, it's funny you say, because I was raised Catholic, and, you know, it's like, there, it's just like, hey, when do things get good? When you're dead.
Right.
I have an idea about something that would make me happy now. That's wrong. No, that's terrible.
Sin.
Right.
Whatever your thought is, it's terrible.
So as much as we'd like to make fun of Scientology, is there anyone happier than Tom Cruise?
No, he's the happiest man alive and probably one of the most successful.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. Just saying. Count me in. Dana, I'm sorry. We were talking about the writer's strike.
And I'm as relaxed around him as I am around any giant tarantula.
Have you ever met him?
Yeah, I have.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard
we
that.
We bowl.
I've heard
the same bowling league.
Are you really?
Are you high?
I have met him.
I've heard he looks into your eyes when he's speaking to you.
Everything,
very piercing.
Everything's on 11.
Yeah.
Right.
Everything's
now,
on 11.
Now, here's my feeling. I would love to pick these guys apart. I would love to go, I know he's secretly miserable and he's overcompensating because he feels like there's a hurt child inside of him. But is that true? Maybe he's happy.
Well, Dana's met him.
I think he's happy. What does he not have to be happy about?
Well, but you know how that works.
There's a machine in this house that makes money.
Really?
He bought it.
He feeds it bread.
And it makes money.
It makes money.
When did you hang out with Tom Cruise?
I met him at a table read for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That I was working on back in the days when I worked.
Back when you could write. And did he give you a really firm handshake and look at you right in the eyes?
Yeah, no, it was. It was like, you remember at the end of Jaws when the shark comes up on the boat?
Mm-hmm.
If the shark was smiling, that was what it was like.
Wow.
There's nothing else going on.
Hey, Danny, want to go mountain bike riding?
How are you? Thanks for doing this.
Let's go on a mountain bike. Can we do this race from a mountain bike?
You don't know the history of psychiatry. I do.
I'd like to put a mountain bike on Oprah's sofa. Do you want a mountain bike over Oprah's sofa? Want a mountain bike on Oprah?
Let's eat mountain bikes.
I know. You know what? I'm tired of seeing people on mountain bikes. It makes me depressed.
Here's the thing about Scientology that I don't like is that building on Sunset where they hate. Why do they hate psychiatry?
Yes.
Or if you go to a psychiatrist's office, you will look like the guy from the Scorpions album cover with the forks in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You just reminded me one reason. Yeah, I don't like anybody who speaks out against psychology.
Well, let me say,
any religion that doesn't want you to get more in touch with your true feelings,
mm-hmm. or only their way.
But is it psychology or is it psychiatry? I mean, do they have a beef with the medicine?
Psychiatry, yeah.
Not so much the advice. I'm sure they're not fans of the advice. I don't know what Christians think about therapy. I'm sure if you go to the pedophile and talk to him on his home turf about therapy, that's fine. But if you go and talk to a Jew with some patches on the sleeves of his blazer, right. that wouldn't be good. But I think they're talking more about the Ritalin and the other medications you give to kids.
Well, there, yeah.
I'm becoming a spokesperson for Scientology. You two are misinformed.
Thanks for defending Scientology.
I have some literature in my car. Hold on.
No, I think you're right.
All you left out is the creepy laugh. No, Dana. You're just misinformed.
Are you being glib?
Let me just put this wire in your ear.
Dana, can we ask you about the writer's strike, which we touched on earlier?
Here's an interesting thing to get psyched for the strike.
Yeah?
I rented the Sylvester Stallone movie Fist. Yes.
Bill rented a movie, Board Up Bill rented a movie called Fist over the weekend, too.
Make sure it's the one with Stallone in
different
it.
Different cast. Yes.
I think I get the same one because about 20 minutes into it, I was like, I'm not doing this.
I don't understand.
Let them download for free.
I could see Norma Rae, but what's the plot of Fist?
There's a better way to get a watch. Fist is the story of Sylvester Stallone as a union leader.
Mm-hmm. And it's moving.
It's very moving.
He's a gay celloist, T.
Okay.
No, it takes place around the 20s, maybe the 30s.
It was his first movie after Rocky. It was when he was actually going to be a filmmaker.
Right. It turned out to be a long flop. But were you inspired?
No, I actually rented the same movie that he did, and I...
Oh, really? Didn't work?
Well, it gave me a belief in moral absolutes.
Mm-hmm.
Some things, Adam, are just wrong.
Like?
Well, that action. That,
what's
that
going
act.
On? Well, what's going on with the strike? I mean, there's a lot of lay people that are listening, and I include myself in that group. We don't know exactly what everyone wants.
Let me give you the writer's strike for dummies.
All right.
I'm the guy.
Please.
This is the main point at issue. As writers and actors live off residuals. You mm-hmm. do a show and you get paid for it. And then when it's rerun, the studio gets money again. The producers get money again. The actors get money again. And the writers get money again. That's how you live.
Right.
Because you work cyclically.
Right.
Right now, there is no residual in place for digital downloading.
Yeah, a sitcom may have 12 or 20 episodes or so. You'll be in production for 4 or 6 months, and then you shut down.
Right.
And while you're shut down, you still need to get the checks from what is generating revenue.
Right, and the product that you made is still being used as repurposed.
Right.
And there's no residual schedule, as they call it, in place for digital downloading, which people say, well, okay, well, here's the problem. In 5 years... it's all digital downloading. NBC in 5 years will come to you through an Ethernet cable.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be no more broadcast television as you and I think of it now.
Right.
And that's not like 10 years. That's 5 years.
Will it plug right into the Scientology jack that's in the small of my back?
Right, exactly. Oh, mine's in the nape of my neck.
You were grandfathered in.
Are the tapeologists thinking of this as doomsday?
I don't know. I just know that they claim, and everyone has had this one, where the producers go, we don't make money off of this, or we don't know how to make money off this, but you go, yeah, but you're going to figure it out real fast.
They will figure it out real fast, and the fact of the matter is, if you watch The Daily Show online, you click on The Daily Show, and then you see a commercial for Fidelity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's money going in, and when NBC, you know, when it's all downloaded and all broadcast, when there's no more broadcasting, it's all downloaded, that is where the income comes. If we did not have a residual schedule in place for that soon arriving inevitability,
mm-hmm.
you would have no more middle class in Los Angeles, largely because all the show business people, which occupies a large portion of the middle class here, would not be able to stay in the business.
Yeah, you don't.
You literally cannot survive.
You don't realize what this does and how it affects the economy, especially out here in Southern California and Los Angeles, that not only obviously are there the writers, but there's that whole sort of just trickle down thing with the craft service people and then the people that supply the food for the craft service people to make the food. And it just heads out. It spiders out in 1,000 different directions.
Yeah, I have friends who work at Western Costume.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where I get all my costumes.
Sure. But you're doing an animated show. Yeah. Everyone needs to be in the period garb when they do the voiceover. That's
the rules. I'm in a panda suit as we speak.
Right.
And, you know, they're like calling me up. What's going on?
And right.
It's I wish I could tell you. So this is very much a fight for a generational fight. This is going to be something that in 10 years, people are going to thank you for doing that.
I spoke to Jimmy's head writer, Steve O'Donnell, who is a letterman.
A lovely, lovely, lovely man.
Great big Irishman. And I spoke to him about what happened in 88 when he was Letterman's head writer. And he said, I don't remember. We're on strike for about 3 months. And I said, well, did you get what you wanted? And he said, it didn't feel like we did.
No, that's part of it is, you know, we wanted to get they said at the time, in 1988, it's the same thing. They wanted money for VHS sales. The writers wanted money for VHS sales. And they said,
what a time.
And they said, it will destroy the business. Mm-hmm. If we give you money for VHS sales, it will destroy the business.
Right. So the writer said, fine, we'll take beta. They said, we will give you 90% on beta, but zero on VHS. And they said, done.
Yeah, give a show projector residuals.
And then he came back and they said, we got beta, 8-track and reel-to-reel, people. We are flush. We're set for the millennium.
Anybody who owns a TIAC, they're kicking you dough. And there was a small amount of, you know, there was a small residual schedule that was put in that got carried over for DVDs, you know.
Well, my feeling is
writers' percentage of a DVD
4 cents.
4 cents,
really?
My feeling is when you say to people, go, hey man, we're not making any money on this technology, and you go, fine. When you do start making money, how about I wet my beak? And they go, oh, we couldn't do that.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Suggesting maybe you are making money in this.
Well, that's like the recount thing. I just want to recount all the votes. No.
Right.
You know, really? That's an interesting point of view.
Yeah, so you're saying we need a very small percentage of the profits once there's profits. How can you say no to that logic?
Yeah, well, the first thing that they did when they put that on the table was, you know, we would like to, you know, increase the DVD rate, which is the old VHS rate.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to set in place a schedule for digital download. The response was, okay, well, let's do this. Let's take away everything you've made in the last 45 years. Pension, healthcare, let's take those all off the table and start from scratch.
All right.
So what it showed was, if we gave in on the digital downloading issue, they also gave us a coming attractions placard of all the things they were then going to start coming after in the next cycle.
Right.
Like our healthcare investment back, our pension investment back.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just old school, and maybe it's the aforementioned fist. But I say you tell Bruce Valanche to get his brass knuckles and just head down to headquarters and start busting some ass.
Right.
You know?
People are too kind to people who break the strike. It seems like if you were bricklayers and somebody, you know, cross a picket line, that person, you know, might have a brick thrown through their window. I guess I'm really asking about Ellen. Do you think she'll be ostracized in the comedy community after this?
Yeah, it's a difficult situation. I do feel for Ellen because it is a difficult situation where she said, I want to do the show for the fans. Well, the fans not having the show is the only leverage that you have in this situation. But she has 310 crew people, and yeah, those people don't work. And that's, I mean,
has a show with fans.
No.
He's talking about the crew, but all the shows have crews.
I'm addressing the other one.
Was like, well, I would hate to have had to be in that decision, but sometimes you have to make tough decisions.
Well, look, it's a pretty...
The Daily Show's not on.
It's a pretty simple decision if you're in that position, which is, what is everyone else doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I'll do.
Right. And she's... But Ellen is in a difficult... I'm not defending what Ellen did. You know, she's also up against Oprah and all these other shows that aren't on strike.
Right. She's not doing the late night show. That's a good point.
And so her viewership goes away. But, you know, it's a tough thing. But, you know, Lost and Heroes and all your favorite shows, you shouldn't have them.
Mm.
People should know what writers do.
God, I just masturbate to modern marvels every night when I get home, watching about how, like, steam shovels are built and things like that. So sad.
I just keep watching the Magic Bullet documentary from the JFK Assassination Channel.
Hey, Bart?
Yeah?
What do you have to say about the writer's strike?
Hey, Adam. Love your show. Teresa, I love you. Too bad Danny's not there. I don't love him so much. I want to say that I think the whole writer's strike is kind of ridiculous.
This is Danny's dad.
Mm-hmm.
calling from beyond.
Boo-hoo, we're not getting paid for sleeping till noon and then, you know, writing a few jokes. Go get a real job. Go get a 9-to-5.
All right, now hold on a second. How dare you? I agree with only half of what you're saying.
What I liked about what you said was it was perfectly wrong. Like a diamond fashioned by a blind, retarded man.
Well,
there's not a correct facet to it.
I have a couple feelings. As a guy who used to swing a hammer who wasn't in a union, I would oftentimes think to myself when people were talking about getting residual checks, essentially getting paid from work that they already did, I would think, you know, when I go in and remodel somebody's kitchen, they pay me to remodel the kitchen. And then 5 years later, when they sell the house and they make $100,000, I don't get a check. I just got paid for what I did for that day, mm-hmm. and I left, and whether the house burns down or they sell it and flip it and make twice as much, I still have what I made for that day. So there's a part of me that thinks, well, why shouldn't every business work this way? But this is a business where half of it is predicated on the repurposing. You're going to sell this product once, then you're going to sell it again, and then you're going to sell it 1,000 times when it goes into syndication. And if you are getting paid, meaning the producers, meaning the man, are getting the lion's share of it, why shouldn't the people who put the words in the mouth of the person that's on the sitcom get paid?
Yeah, and I'm sure there is like Mr. That was actually Les Moonves.
From Sacramento.
Yeah, the people, you know, it is a, you know, there is a giant misconception about what writers do, that we sleep till noon and wander in, and, you know, it's a hard job like anything else.
No,
and
they get up. Yeah. I worked at Kimmel for years. They're in the office by 10. They watch porn on YouPorn until noon,
right,
and then they start working, but they don't wander in at noon.
Any writer that wanders in at noon is not wandering out before midnight.
You work probably very long hours on The Simpsons.
We work very long hours on The Simpsons, and when you're and now I'm an independent contractor, if you're writing a movie, you're always working.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Yes, the hours are very long, and maybe they start at noon, but they go till midnight.
Yeah.
So you pick your poison. We've all had many, many a dinner sitting around a table trying to put something to bed. The finest sushi, I might add. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Dana Gould is going to be at the Comedy Festival this Saturday.
What I liked about what you said was it was perfectly wrong.
November 17th at 8 o'clock, the Dooch Man is out at Hollywood and Highland dispensing his own brand of life advice humor. We'll talk to him in a second, but when we come back, Last Week in Rage. I was supposed to do This Week in Rage every Friday. Then I got too angry yelling about something on Friday, so we moved to Monday.
Is this the bar?
Then I got into it with my dad.
Is this a news report on what happened at the bar, Rage?
Yes.
Ah, Rage the bar.
No.
Rage is a gay bar here in L.A.
It's not that. It's not Mr. Fister's. None of the local bars around
the
here.
The Tuggatorium.
This is going to be the Life Hammer, the moon being disappointing. These are all the things I was angry about last week. The Patriots not covering the spread, stuffed crust pizza, and Sean Kingston's song, Beautiful Girl, which got 32% of the vote. First off, it's ripping off Under the Boardwalk.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
The same chord.
Play the beginning, yeah. And we'll play the beginning of this, and then you play Under the Boardwalk.
Stand By Me by Benny King.
Ah, it is Stand By Me. Which ripped off Under the Boardwalk by the Drifters. Which is this Stand By Me and Under the Boardwalk. Yeah. You have me suicidal. All right. Hey, Dana Gould, would you like to hang out and be my Week in Rage muse?
I would love to.
All right, I'm going to rail. When we come back, we'll check on the Dooch Man, and Dana will fan me and feed me peeled grapes while I go into a tirade. We'll take a break. Be back with that next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. It's time to count down the top five things that made Adam mad last week. It's called Last Week in Rage on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's supposed to be called This Week in Rage, but I got so angry on Friday about something else, I never got to it. And then there was Monday, and well, now it's Last Week in Rage.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Dana Gould is here. He is going to cup my scrotum while I take on this list. Of course, Teresa Strasser standing by. And
let me take my rings off.
Danny Bonaducci, or at least warm your hands. Danny Bonaducci on his way back from Hollywood and Highland to join us here in the studio. All right. Now,
I can feel his shadow on the building.
We have topics are the Life Hammer. That's that hammer they sell in the Sky Mall. So if you pull a Chappaquiddick and you go upside down into the mire, you can bust out of your own car with the Life Hammer. There's the moon being disappointing. Mm-hmm. I'm a little disappointed by the moon. We're talking about going back to the moon. Not sure why we need to go back to the moon. The Patriots not covering. That lost me $1,100 last weekend. And I should say the weekend before that. And Stuffed Crust Pizza and Sean Kingston's song, Beautiful Girl, which sounds like Stand By Me. Yes, Paul Bryan, you say? And a little bit Under the Boardwalk, but more Stand By Me. You're right. All right, shall we get started?
Sure.
This Week in Rage.
I'm angry.
What a dick.
I pay taxes, bitch.
What? Number 5.
Ah, the aforementioned Life Hammer. $39.95 buys you something that can break your windshield. I feel like if I'm upside down and water's coming into my SUV, I can break the windshield with my thumb on my bad hand. And as I said before, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to get drunk because that's what I do. That's what the Sky Mall does to you. They booze you up. They liquor you up. Then they take your credit card and you make bad impulse decisions at 39,000 feet going 700 miles an hour with 9 Bloody Marys in you. You're like, I'm buying that double-decker cat stroller. And your wife's like, you're allergic to cats. Shut up, bitch!
Anybody who drives with kids knows what they need in this car is a hammer lying around.
Right.
Just let one of the kids get their hands on a hammer.
I feel two ways about the Life Hammer. One, the second you buy it, your chances of going into a mire at night in your car just went up 10,000-fold. Number two, when the wife is cleaning out the car, she will most assuredly put the Life Hammer into the trunk of the car. So when I'm upside down and it's 4 a.m. and the hooker's passed out and the water's bleeding in through the vents, I'll say, where's the Life Hammer? And that will be the last thought I have while I'm alive. All right. The moon.
Number 4.
The moon is a disappointing orb. It really is. As rocks in the sky go, it's the most boring. And I think we were a better society before we went to the moon. Because we used to dream. We had dreams. We would stare at the moon and dream. I wonder what the man on the moon is thinking. My father said before we went to the moon, he didn't think it was made out of cheese. He knew it was made out of cheese. And the only question, Havarti or Gouda? That was the only question in the Corolla family. And you just stare at the moon and you'd say, wonder who's down there or up there looking down at me right now. Well, the Russians said, we're going to the moon. And we said, no, we're going to spend $10 billion and we're going to beat you. And we beat the Russians to the moon. And it's a rock with no life on it.
We stopped going. Every astronaut, if you ever meet them, they say the same thing. I went to the moon. Sucked.
Right. We have a moon. It's called the Gobi Desert. We have a moon. It's called the Mojave Desert. It's just a desert. We need a rock. We need no life. Go to the Bun Boy out in Baker. Hang a right. Go about 100 feet, and I've just saved the government $10 billion.
The moon is good for one thing. The moon is good for one thing, telling the Wolfman when it's time to go to work.
That's right.
Good point.
It's a heads up for the Wolfman. All right.
Number 3.
Patriots. Oh, the Patriots. All they do is crush people. And it was an entire week. 2 weeks ago, it was an entire week of Belichick piling on. Brady and Belichick, fourth down, up by 40 points and going for it. Going for two when they're beating the Dolphins, 38-0. Non-stop piling on, running up the points. Oh, yes, but all that came to an end when for the first time the Ace Man said, you know what? Instead of watching the Patriots crush the spread by 90 points each and every week because they can't stop scoring, I'm going to reach into my wallet, I'm going to call Jimmy's cousin Sal, and I'm putting $1,000, which turns out to be $1,100 with the VIG, on the Pats to beat the spread. And what happened? Well, the spread was 5.5, and it turned out to be 4. And what happened to the piling on? And what happened to the running up the score? And what happened to the scoring machine? Well, at the end of the game, Brady took a knee, and so did my wallet.
Only the Patriots could win and still lose.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Oh, don't get me started, Dana.
Number 2.
Stuffed crust pizza. Look, people, There's already 18,000 possible combinations you can put on a pizza. Do we really have to start monkeying with the crust? Leave the crust alone. And by the way, Pizza Hut or whoever you are, until you've perfected the crust, you do not have the option of monkeying with the crust. You can't make crust right. Forget about stuffing it. This is like some guy at the Special Olympics who can't do a cartwheel saying, give me the pommel horse. You haven't earned your way to the pommel horse.
The concept of pizza is done. We finished it. It works.
We signed off many years ago. We've all agreed on it. Yep. Nobody ever eats a good slab of pizza and goes, man, it's missing something. Perhaps if someone injected molten cheese or jalapeno-flavored sauce into the crust itself, I would be happier. No. And there are 35 combinations you can put on a pizza. Well, there's 35 separate toppings and an infinite number of combinations once you want to mix and match those. That's enough for me. Leave it alone and make it thin, please. Please. And wait a second.
That was a buzzer.
I'm sorry, but I'm angry about one thing. All you haters out there, all you naysayers, all you folks that think it's a good idea to be the burr in the ace man's saddle, when I say thin crust pizza is better than thick crust, you go, ha-ha, have you been to Geno's East in Chicago? Well, the answer is yes, but I live in North Hollywood. We don't have a Geno's West out here. Give me the thin crust. And by the way, speaking of pies, shut your pie hole. Now the last one.
Number one.
32% of you voted on this one to be our number one. It won by a landslide. Sean Kingston didn't even know it was the guy who sung the song, just knew the super annoying song known as Beautiful Girl.
How can you be mad at this?
Here's why I'm mad. This song was number one.
This fills me with rage. This is eye-gouging rage.
This is a horrible song, but worse. Look, there's always been bad songs. This song is horrible, but number one, which suggests to me that we're getting dumber and dumber and dumber as a society. That we like this Casio electronic derivative rip-off crap from the 60s. And wait till he gets to his weird syntho voice. It's like, really, it's like robot rock.
Oh, that Celine Dion. Oh,
here it comes. Listen to this. Look, this is the essence of music has been stripped from this. It's like having sex with a mannequin. The soul. Do you know what I mean? The soul.
It's as organic as a blue popsicle.
It really is. It's like it's eating a handful of the styrofoam peanuts for dinner and crapping a styrofoam ice chest. It's horrible. And only stupid people respond to that. Smart people, if you're smart, you should be annoyed by that. And when you're driving and you're smart and you're listening to that and you try to change the channel, and the knob comes off in your hand and you can't adjust the channel, you should drive into an open body of water and start looking for your life hammer. You should kill yourself if you're smart and you're forced to listen to that. And ripping off the great Ben E. King and Stand By Me. All right.
Until next time.
Hold on a second.
This week.
Oh, what an ass.
In rage.
You have Stand By Me, by the way, Bald Brian.
Dana, mm-hmm. Are you going to take this roiling and agitation with you to the picket line?
I am. I'm going to march out. Also, I just realized that it's the same bass line from What's Your Name, Who's Your Daddy by the Zombies.
What's your name?
Beautiful girl.
T, you know what song we're talking about?
Yeah. But it's similar. I do know that song. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole thing is completely derivative. And look, all you folks that are writing songs where you kind of go, I do kind of like, yeah, the kind of part is the hit from the 60s that they ripped off. The part that you don't like is the annoying part that they're doing now.
Yeah, that was like when Vanilla Ice had a hit 3 decades ago. The part of his song that I liked was the part that was the clip of the David Bowie song that I liked.
Yeah. And so you'd have to do that thing, but you're an idiot for doing it where you go, you know what? There are parts of the song yes.
Yeah. What was your favorite part of Rocky VI? The clip from Rocky I.
Yeah. I gotta admit, not all of Rocky VI was bad. The beginning was pretty cool.
Interesting.
That's Carl Weathers, where they showed Rocky I. That was pretty good, you gotta admit. Wasn't all bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that with the sampling, they do it with the movies, and they do it with that classic Benny King riff. All right, Bald Brian. Could you find anything?
Give me a second.
You look panicked. Should we filibust here?
Should we,
hey,
should
Dana
we
Gould can be found
stretch?
At the Comedy Festival this Saturday, November 17th.
Caesar's Palace.
At Caesar's Palace.
Which I cannot say without thinking of Evel Knievel at the beginning of every ABC Wide World of Sports.
Yes.
Crashing down. How would you like, what was your dad? He was the symbol of the agony of defeat.
That's right, he was.
Yeah.
That's how my dad
is
known.
What was the thrill of victory?
The thrill of victory was a skier, a guy
right.
A guy doing a big ski jump, I think.
Well, no, the ski,
no, the ski jump
guy
was the
crashed.
Other part of the agony of defeat.
Right, there were two agonies of defeat.
Right.
All right, so this is, play the beginning of this one more time.
Also by Rob Reiner. It's an entire Rob
Stand
Reiner
by me,
thematic.
Directed right. by Rob Reiner.
Right.
Let's hear this.
Who, like the letter M, is as tall as he is white?
I saw him on Sesame Street.
Were you hanging with him and Tom Cruise at the same party?
That would be intense.
All right, what do we got?
Crickets. You can't play the crickets.
Ball Brian, you can't do it? If you can't do it, tell us.
I was doing a show last night, and there was a cricket in the building. And literally, there was an actual cricket during the silence.
A metaphor
really?
Come to life.
Exactly.
And then a tumbleweed.
I was waiting for a tumbleweed to blow across stage.
Dana Gould at the Comedy Festival this Saturday and on a picket line near you.
At Universal Studios all week on Lancashire. And
a lot
tonight
of celebrities
at the Upright
there.
Citizens Brigade Theater.
Oh, cool. Hey, Bald Brian, let's go out with some of my kids screaming for Elmo. I've decided any young families that are getting started now, name your, if you have a son, name him Elmo.
Mm-hmm.
Because this Elmo thing is not going away.
Elmo.
And 20 years from now, when he has a kid and his kid starts yelling for Elmo,
Daddy.
It'll make him feel good. Because my kids are just, they're all 100% Elmo.
Oh, my daughter Elmo. Alice had such a crush on Elmo.
Really?
Elmo.
Because he's soft and there's no hard edges to Elmo.
Right. And no genitalia, or at least ambiguous. All right, let's take ourselves a break.
It's under a flap.
Dana Gould, good times. See you at the Comedy Festival. John Fugelsang. John hosts TV Water Cooler with our own Teresa Strasser. Also.
You know John, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know John from doing America's Funniest Videos.
He co-hosted with Daisy Fuentes. He used to be a VJ on VH1 for years.
Am I wrong to hate Daisy Fuentes as much as I
you
do?
You should ask John about that, and we'll see how honest he'll be. He has a lot to say about Daisy.
Carmen Electra fills me with purple rage. And that's
really?
Not,
I don't,
that's
not
a sexual innuendo.
She bugs you?
Yeah.
Can I say this quickly before we go to break? I walk around and I see Billy Bush on TV and I go, I'm bugged. Why don't I like that guy? And when I see Rosie, my spidey sense tingles. And this is during the chubby club phase. And I do the same with the aforementioned Ellen.
Yep.
And I have the same thing with Daisy Fuentes. I've never sat down and had dinner with Daisy Fuentes. I've never had a conversation with her except for backstage at the Teen Choice Awards where I told her we're not going off the teleprompter and just wing it. And she said, I don't know what that means. And I said, don't worry about it. And she said, I want to read the teleprompter. And I said, well, I'll have a good laugh about this in 50 years. And she said, I'm worried about the next 50 seconds. And then me and Drew and Daisy Fuentes went on stage and didn't look at the teleprompter. But the point is, that's the only exchange I've ever had with the woman, yet my spidey sense tingles.
Edward Norton makes me clench my fist.
Yes!
He does?
He's like a Larry Linville. He's our Larry Linville.
I couldn't agree more. We'll talk to John Fugelsang. Maybe he'll be honest about Maisie. Maybe he'll be honest about our own Teresa Strasser.
Yikes.
We'll do that next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
I want to like him. I want to believe he's a good guy, but I smell evil.
And now Teresa Strasser's partner on TV Water Cooler.
Really?
John Fugelsang on the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, one of the good ones.
I love John
Fugelsang.
Oh, thank you, guys.
John is in studio. John's going to be doing his one-man show. Fair to call it that. That's correct, right?
Yeah. If I'm a man, yeah, if you consider that.
Brentwood Theater on Wilshire Boulevard at 8 o'clock on two nights coming up this Thursday and this Friday. So, John, let's get to our Daisy Fuentes story. you worked doing America's Funniest Videos. You hosted that for a couple of seasons. I have no reason to think Daisy Fuentes is not just a great magnanimous, friendly person. But for some reason, my spidey sense has always tingled about her. And I always want to know if I'm calibrated, if I'm dialed in right, because that's all you have in life. Is your antenna dish working or isn't it? So what about Daisy Fuentes?
Well, I was just working with Daisy in the lab last night on some cold fusion projects.
And not the smartest
she speaks
one,
very highly of you, Adam. No, she's great. Maybe you were just thrown off by the Adam's apple. I don't know. But no, Daisy's a wonderful woman, and she's you know, my second favorite female co-host I've ever had.
That's a big bitch.
I don't trust hot chicks.
Where's Bonaducci?
I don't trust hot chicks with the entrepreneurial spirit.
You don't trust hot chicks, so Susie Orman doesn't do it for you.
No, although she's only has one of those two qualifications going for her in my book. I'm thinking more the model that has turned into a business person and is making money hand over fist with
kiss
the Pilates videos and stuff. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do not trust them. So Fugle's saying you do TV water cooler with Teresa. Yeah,
that's my work wife over there.
Yeah.
I call her Condi.
Thought you were going another direction there.
Yeah.
And you guys get along famously.
We only communicate through text message, Adam. But
that's why this is weird.
Yeah.
Hey, Teresa.
Yeah.
Fair to say this about John Fugle, saying if you don't get along with him, you have a problem. It's your fault.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a good guy. I have a buddy named Donnie who I call the Wheeze. And I say, if you think he's an a-hole, then you're an a-hole.
I've met the Wheeze, and he's very nice. But you're right. I think I was telling you, Adam, that a lot of times when I've been paired up with somebody to work with them, either I really admire them, and I think they're funny, and I like their work, or I like them as a person, and John's both, and I feel very lucky. I feel lucky. I've had had a good year.
Yeah, that's from my spiritual background, because my show's about this kind of, but my mother was a nun, and my father was a Franciscan brother, so they taught me if I wasn't kind to people, they would beat me mercilessly. So.
And in fact, the opening of his show, which I've seen, and which I feel like an ass kisser, but it is a good show, and I wouldn't say that if it wasn't. It's a great show. But the opening of John's show is about when he was on Bill Maher's Politically Incorrect, and he had a debate with David Duke, I think.
Yes, America's most famous Nazi.
Right, and his parents got furious.
Well, they watched and they got furious.
Yeah, well, it's how my show begins. But yeah, it was a true story. It was so weird. It made me realize how I was still so indoctrinated. Dana was talking about the Catholic thing earlier, and I grew up in a very Catholic household. Mm-hmm. We had open casket reunions, and I was on PI with David Duke, and my father before it, he was this old school Brooklyn liberal, very uber Catholic Franciscan brother, said, "You got to give this guy love. You can't hate this guy. He's too easy a target. Don't take down David Duke. Be nice to the guy." So I tried being nice to him, and he was just awful, and I wound up finally offering him hot gay sex if he would stop.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents couldn't talk to me for a week after that.
Really?
Yeah, the Nazi Klansman was fine, but I made a sex joke, and the Catholics were upset.
I don't like when my family watches me or listens to me, because there's a chance I may say something that either is about them directly indirectly, but still embarrassing, some comment about masturbation or watching porn on the internet or something like that. I wouldn't encourage. I've done Politically Incorrect probably 20 times as well, as I see here from John Fugelsang's card. I would never encourage them to watch. I feel like there would be some pressure.
Yeah.
Your parents being religious, when did you learn to quit giving them a heads up on when you were going to be on PI? Or did you just do it every time? Or were they so prying and nosy that they found out anyway?
Well, my dad was a history teacher. So, you know, when I doing political comedy, he always took a great interest in it. And I want to earn dad's love, you know, retroactively, because I didn't exactly excel at sports. So I don't really have the chance to do it. So now I just do TV shows that they don't get on their cable system, like TV Water Cooler with Teresa Strasser.
It's on deep cable. A lot of people don't get it.
Well, as my grandmother once asked me when I mentioned that I was going to be on The Tonight Show or Letterman or something like that back in the day, she said, "Oh, real TV."
Thanks
for
the thinly veiled diss.
Yeah, that felt fantastic.
I asked John a lot of times, how, if you ever have a friend who's really smart on certain topics and you ask for their opinion so that you can then pass it off as your own, that's what I do with John in politics.
Thank you, Teresa.
All the candidates, I ask, and then that's how I should feel.
And then I pontificate and preach at you, and it works out great.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. Did I ask you if Hillary was evil or good?
Yeah, you may have. Well, Hillary's great, because I think she's a riot, because you talk to these Democrats about Hillary and you say, well, she supported the Iraq War and she supported No Child Left Behind and all the billionaire tax cuts and Patriot Act twice, so why you vote for her? And they say, because we need change.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Change for the sake of change, though, not always good. And change doesn't mean that you couldn't do worse than who you have now, though that would be difficult. I think everyone is just so hard up to get somebody other than Bush in there. And they're so miserable of... Look, here's the thing. I've said many times. I get crap for this. People, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican.
Don't mess with Texas.
Neither am I. Very strong views when it comes to certain issues that might be... seem like a Republican view, and then there are other ones in involving drug legalization and consensual crimes and stuff that seem very Democratic. So please try not to give me a label on this one. I have had an impacted ass full of us beating up our own president. It makes me feel bad.
Yeah, it's Bush fatigue.
It's like when your dad's a no-count alcoholic, and you know he's a no-count alcoholic, but now everyone in the neighborhood's going, how's Otis? Mm-hmm. What do you do, nap all day? When's the last time he beat your old lady? Has he got a job yet? And at a certain point, you're just thinking, I wish Dad would die in his sleep. So I'm getting really depressed.
Well, that's why I love Laura, you know? I mean, Laura's a real inspiration. Only in America would a librarian marry an illiterate. That's why I'm voting for her next time.
And for me, it's like, whether we like it or not, or want to admit it or not, we are, if not the sort of top of the country pyramid, we're somewhere in the top three or four blocks up there. And I'm tired of us having a crappy leader that we hate, that the rest of the world makes fun of. And it's lowering my self-esteem as an American. It really is. And as a human being, I want somebody in there that I don't care if he's better than Bush. I just want the few or her. I don't care if she's better than Bush. I just want that little reprieve of a few months where we're not beating the crap out of the person that's in office.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get it either.
Well, if we get Hillary, we're not going to get it.
We're not going to get it because we're going to have a one-term punching bag for 4 years.
But what if we get like Barack Obama?
Yeah, how can we beat up on him?
And there's that little thing of everyone wants to beat up on the president, but he'll be the first black president, so you'll be a little bit of a pariah if you're the first guy to cross that picket line and start
slinging mud. What should I tell people that I think about Barack Obama?
I'm not really worried about Barack Obama becoming president, so that's not something I'm really concerned about.
Not going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen just yet. But when he's in 10 years, when he's 50 and he's Dennis Haybert and he's put on some weight, then maybe. But.
Are we too racist to elect him?
Of course we're too racist to elect him.
But
what
about sexist? I mean, what about gender?
That's the thing with Hillary Clinton. It's got nothing to do with gender. It's the same thing that got Bush elected. It's product brand name loyalty. They like the first model, and now they're going for Hillary. I think if you're that into 90s nostalgia, go buy a Friends DVD box set. Loving Hillary. That's why Gore should run and make Hillary the VP, because these liberals can take out their old T-shirts and wear them upside down.
What about that? Is there any way that Gore's going to run?
No.
If he's going to get elected?
He would have been on the Stairmaster already. It's not going to happen.
Good point.
Lock box.
Decent point. Yeah.
Danny Bonaducci, who would you be voting for?
I'll tell you. I was leaning towards Ron Paul, but... See, one time, I used to live in the dumpster behind Man's Chinese, and one time I was sharing some rock with Todd Bridges, and Adam Rich came over and tried to cop my whole stash, and Ron Paul showed up, and he totally bitch-slapped the guy with a taser. So he's got my vote. That's all that matters to me.
So do you vote with the Green Party? Are you talking about
to me or Danny?
I'm talking to Danny.
Oh, well, I'm an independent. I'm like the stallion that's got to ride free and ride as much as he can. Indeterminate of gender as well, I might add.
John Fugelsang is here. Also, Danny Bonaducci has stuffed himself into John Fugelsang.
I want to announce I'm going to be hosting a new game show about L.A. men. It's called Gay or Armenian.
The Danny Bonaducci Show.
That's right.
Danny is on his way back from Hollywood Highlands. Should be coming in the building any second now.
Danny's not going to be my secret Santa anymore after this.
All the wrong... Reasons is the name of John's one-man stage show. Two nights only, this Thursday and Friday. Teresa Strasser, The Adam Carolla Show, says great.
Yeah, I love it.
Adam Carolla from The Adam Carolla Show says, I always agree with Teresa Strasser.
You better.
Or
I'll go on strike with a Scientologist outside your office.
We'll come back with John. T, why don't you tee up the news, and we'll do the news, and John can sit in with that.
I love that. Well, Barbara Walters has decided... who the most fascinating people of 2007 are. We'll review.
Right. Via a bunch of interns that work around her office, explain to her what's going on in
whose
the century.
Name she doesn't know. Yeah.
Yes.
Timberlake? I don't understand. Is he in a lake?
Is he up north? We'll take a quick break. Be back with John, the news, and probably Danny. Well, Danny, one way or the other.
That's right.
Next.
What's up, Adam? It's Joe.
Hit you back later, bro. Peace.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on The Adam Carolla Show.
Danny's on his way back from Hollywood and Highland, or at least that's what I assume. We have him in spirit here, at least, with John Fugelsang.
That's right.
John is going to be doing the all-woman, one-woman show. No, the one-man show. It's called All the Wrong Reasons. It's two nights. It's this Thursday and this Friday at the Brentwood Theater on Wilshire at 8 p.m. T.
Yep.
You're his partner on TV Water Cooler, so we'll let him hang in, and we'll do the news with Teresa Strasser.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
It looks like Kanye West's mother, Dr. Donda West, did indeed die of complications from plastic surgery. Reports are she was having a tummy tuck and breast reduction. That was the preliminary finding of the L.A. County Coroner's Office. There are now reports about the doctor who did the surgery. He is a doctor you may have seen on the Discovery Health Network. He does a show called Plastic Surgery Before and After. There are some reports surfacing now that he has two DUIs on his record. He was arrested and booked back in March of 2006. He pled no contest to DUI. That was his second conviction. There's also some more details about what may have gone wrong. Sources tell TMZ that Kanye West's mother's operation lasted 8 hours, which is twice as long as it should have. He began the operation Friday morning. He finished Friday evening. Well, he then sent her home.
Oh, so she went home.
She went home.
She didn't die on the table.
That's right. Now, apparently, after this kind of procedure, it's maybe recommended to go to a recovery center. Mm-hmm. But instead of doing that, which would have been the appropriate thing, she went home. Several doctors at Sentinella Hospital, where she was taken, told TMZ they think the excessive amount of time it took to perform the procedure suggests that something went wrong during the operation, and perhaps the doctor was too inexperienced. So she did go home. She was then rushed to the hospital. She died. She was dead the next evening at her home before the paramedics arrived.
Well, it's sad. It's tragic. And Kanye and her seem to be very close. And
she had written a book about him.
Really one of the many drawbacks to being black, which is you have to hang with your mom for the rest of your life because she worked three jobs and took care of you because dad split. And now you're sort of sewn at the hip together. It does suck. See, whitey don't do that.
Right.
Yeah, white men abandon their mothers.
There's every rapper's up there thanking his mom, thanking Jesus' mom, up there with his mom, collecting the Grammys and
Jay-Z
stuff.
Jay-Z put her on the record, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
There's one white rapper's name is Eminem, hates his mom.
He only raps about
hating
his mom or Kim.
He raps about what
Kim.
A bitch she is, yeah. What a shrew she is. I think true. I've made my point. There's only one white rapper, and he hates his mom. That's how much white people hate their mothers.
If Vanilla Ice is serious about a comeback, now he knows.
Start hating on moms. Yeah, it does suck. You see, as a whitey, we don't have that pressure. Mom was around. I give her a 4.5, maybe a 5. Dad was in and out, but basically around. I give
how
him
a, would I know that?
Give him a solid 3.5 to 4. But either way, they're not coming up on the stage when I get my Oscar.
The thought of you thanking your mom or your dad in any kind of acceptance speech, hard to even fathom.
Thanks for nothing, Whitey.
I don't know. I was raised Catholic, Irish. We have a lot more issues with our mothers.
Maybe I'll give a sarcastic white man's thankful speech.
I like that.
Hey, Mom, thanks for making all those delicious Hot Pockets in your microwave. That must have been a lot of work when I was growing up.
Does this mean Kanye's mother was under anesthesia for twice as long as
they're
supposed to be?
That's what's being reported, exactly.
Wow.
It's trouble.
All right, so she's gone, and it's a big deal because she was his manager.
Yeah, she was in charge of, I think he had a charitable organization she ran, and she, you know, ran
just
his
the
career.
Fact that there's a ton of footage. Like, yeah. Is there possible footage of you doing a book signing, Teresa, where your mom would be standing there sliding the books across the table? Do you have any file footage of that?
No. It'd be hard
All right.
to find.
Keep going.
Barbara Walters,
mm-hmm.
after painstaking deliberation, has finally decided on the most fascinating people of this year.
All right, here's how that...
Not including Barbara Walters.
Here's the painstaking procedure. Barbara, here's a list of the most exciting people of the year. Pretend like you've heard of three of them, please, you old shrew.
The top 10 will be featured on an ABC special, the 15th annual Barbara Walters Presents the 10 Most Fascinating People of 2007. It'll air December 6th.
Whoever's making the list, wouldn't it be fun just to slip Moses onto that list or some biblical character?
Well, she dated Moses.
Yeah, they were prom dates together. I don't think it'd be tasteful.
Yeah, you could put whoever you wanted. You could put like, let's see.
What if we put Vanilla Ice?
No, you think better yet. You put names like Phil McCracken and stuff like that. She's like, welcome, Phil McCracken.
But you have to actually Charles get Nelson the person Riley. For the interview.
Yeah.
I think he might be dead.
I'm sitting here with Dick Gobbler.
Really punk Barbara Walters and have her interview people who are, in fact, not fascinating.
Do you think...
Oh, she does already.
Do you think, or don't you think, we could take almost any random black guy, 22-year-old, good-looking black guy, and say, this guy's 42 cent. He's the most popular act going right now.
My name is Tyrone Washington.
Make a little cheat sheet on him, and she would sit down and do a one-hour interview with 42 Cent.
I think you underestimate how in touch with the hip-hop community Barbara Walters is.
Maybe you're right.
A lot of people forget that Barbara was one of the founding members of Wu-Tang and thrown out for being too hardcore. So.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yes. Barbara made cookies for the Crips for years, and I don't think you want to underscore her street cred, Adam.
What if we just told
Blue
her
hair.
That John Fugelsang was Danny Bonaducci and that he was the most fascinating person?
You know what? Tell her I'm K.D. Lang and I might pass.
Well, she doesn't reveal the number one most fascinating person until the show. She keeps that secret.
Mm-hmm. Is it Timberwake?
In fact, Justin Timberwake is one of the other nine most fascinating people of this year. Was he fascinating to you, John?
Timberwake? Endlessly. Yeah. That poster above my bed keeps me up all night.
Also on the list, American Idol reject Jennifer Hudson.
Fascinating.
Came back and won an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Posh Spice, Beckham.
Oh,
that's a very
no.
interesting person. Hey, she's the fifth most talented singer in the history of the Spice Girls.
I know. Look, it just because you stop eating, spray yourself orange, and get a boob job doesn't make you exciting. I'm not excited
we'll
about
cancel
her.
My afternoon plans.
Yes.
Former president and first husband hopeful Bill Clinton. It's on the list. He'll be interviewed.
Fascinating.
And let me say this. I don't want to sound like a J.O., but let me, again, we were talking politics a little bit before, and I had this scenario. I'll bring it up to you guys at the risk of sounding like a right-winger here. But I was listening to the girls go back and forth on The View talking about Clinton and what he did in the office and the Monica Lewinsky thing and how it had really nothing to do with anything. Not about politics or foreign policy. It did not impede his ability to run the country whatsoever. And I generally agree with that. But let me pose you guys this question.
Gave him an excuse to bomb Iraq when we didn't need to.
If we or you were going to hire an accountant and they're both exactly the same person, they went to the same schools and they have the same degrees and everything's exactly the same, except for one of them is effing around on his wife.
It's an excellent question.
Would you not factor that in?
Absolutely not, and Bill Clinton is the proof of it. Because no Republican president has balanced a budget since Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Not once. Clinton, who I'm not a huge fan of, did it 8 years in a row. Which to me makes Clinton more of a responsible conservative than Reagan, Bush, and Ford combined.
Interesting. And how would that sound if Bonaducci answered it?
Well, I'm glad you asked that.
I'm just saying, when it comes to moral character, if you wanted to hire an accountant or a babysitter,
right?
And one of the girls was having an affair on her husband, and I said, it doesn't matter, don't judge. She's a perfectly good babysitter. She has an issue going on with her relationship where she steps outside of it to have sex with other people, but that in no way factors into her ability to watch your children. What would you say? You'd say, I'm going to go with the other one.
Well,
not that it's the end all and be all, but you would still go with the other one.
If you had a choice between two babysitters, one who cheats on her partner and the other one who you know, indiscriminately bombs nations of brown people who never threatened us.
Yeah.
You know, it's not too right wing to suggest.
This is
what
I like, John. Is again, that one, Tammy? I would take this opinion as my own.
No, I agree. I agree with you. Given
what's
that,
morality mean? I mean, morality is a bit more than just, you know, showing it to a government clerk.
I agree. It's a lesser of two evils. And I, as an atheist, don't care about the oral sex. All I'm saying is you saying
you receive it better than anybody.
Nobody actually, lots of atheists really care about oral sex.
Takes oral. Like the Ace Man. A lot of people brag about giving.
I don't know
Fine.
If you've heard this. He's
I don't want
best.
To compete with those people. I'm right. saying no one takes it like the Ace Man. Don't believe me. Step up,
home,
man.
You know.
Step up. Don't step up then.
Well, then I guess there's only one way to decide. Teresa, you've got to figure out.
That would. Well, Brian's here too.
That's true.
He's a giver.
Right. See, that's a conservative thing, though. You know, it's a matter of who's the most responsible fund custodian for an accountant. And in this case, we had a Democrat who was much more of a conservative than the conservatives.
I agree with you. I liked Clinton.
Doesn't John sound smart? I
he
just
does.
Like listening to him talk. I don't
steal
know what he's
all
saying.
My stuff from Foxworthy tapes.
And I liked. I thought it was Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
I liked Clinton.
I'll tell you what.
Thought he did a great job. I'm just saying to those of you who say it doesn't factor in whatsoever, I would apply it to choosing your next accountant, and I think most people would go for, maybe they're wrong, but I think they would have to admit they'd go with the guy who wasn't having the affair. That's all.
Well, you could also, but you know, I like the argument, but you can also look at all the presidents that we've had since World War II, and they've all been adulterers, rumored to be adulterers, or according to the Bible, adulterers, mm-hmm. except for two, Bush and Truman, who dropped the bomb. So I say, you know, let them get all the action they need if it's going to make it a safer world. There's different kinds of morality. There are those who think it's much worse to go bad-mouthing your spouse behind their back than to be doing something that they never find out about that hurts them.
Well,
and enough that, of this morning
I say that
crap.
As a married guy, too.
Yes.
Okay, also on Barbara Walters' list.
Hmm.
Apparently, someone's told Barbara Walters about this crazy new thing called MySpace. Tom Anderson and Chris DeWolf, the creators of MySpace, will be on her show.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Grey's Anatomy minx Katherine Heigl. She's one of the most fascinating people.
Mm. Yeah. I'm getting ready to drop her into a volcano. Yeah. I like her. I'm just wondering if she's not spinning out of control.
I don't think I can be MySpace friends with her anymore.
Really? Nah. You're going to take her out of your top eight?
You know, my mother-in-law joined MySpace, and I had to drop Jenna Jameson. So awful.
There wasn't room in your heart for
I
both.
I couldn't let her know.
All right. I don't know if you guys have Thanksgiving travel plans. Will you be going anywhere? Will you be boarding an airplane?
I'm going to travel to the kitchen, and then I'm going to travel to the bathroom, and then I will travel to the bed.
That's the best thing, isn't it? When everybody else in the world is traveling and you're not.
And then I will wake up in the wee hours and travel back to the kitchen and travel to the cold pumpkin pie. I'll have a quick masturbatorial session. Then I will eat the pie.
Right.
And then I'll travel back to the bed again.
At least you'll have the pie with you for that.
That's right. Oh, that's what I do. Yeah, a lot of guys look at porn. I look at pie. When I get really excited, I'll give myself a pie in the face. Yeah.
Well, the TSA just released a report on the wait times in security lines at the 27 busiest airports. Without question, the worst is Denver International.
Mm-hmm.
On the average,
the biggest one.
Yeah. On the average day this year during peak hours like holidays, mid-mornings, etc., it took more than 20 minutes to get through the security at Denver. That's the longest wait in the country. And some people have had to wait up to 2.5 hours in the security lines there.
Well, let me say this. Here's how they should factor it in. Here's the ratio they should use. Not how long are you in line, how long versus how long's the flight. If you're flying to Paris and it's 12 hours and you wait in line for an hour, well, you're just 20% of the time that you're waiting, or 10% or whatever it turns out, or 8% in this case. Now, when I flew home from McCarran, when I was in Vegas last week, I stood in line for 2 hours for a 45-minute flight.
Mm.
That's brutal.
That's McCarran.
When you've actually doubled the time you're going to spend in the air in line at the C terminal, that's brutal.
We could drop this liquid rule on the plane and let girls keep their lip gloss and glide through security. You know, that's the biggest racket that's been foisted on us in the last 2 years.
That liquid thing?
The liquid thing on the plane is a complete racket.
I agree. And not only that, but what about the inconsistency? How about when I'm leaving Burbank on Saturday afternoon, I walk right through the metal detector wearing my sweat jacket. And when I'm wearing the same sweat jacket, because that's the way I roll, on Sunday, traveling through McCarran, the guy guy's like, stop, gonna need to take sweat jacket off and put it in the bucket. That does not instill confidence in the frequent flyer. The fact that you have different rules from municipality to municipality, from airport to airport, you know, isn't that one thing that should be just sort of federalized?
It's like hooking up with senators in the men's room. Some airports are okay with it. Other ones hassle you.
How do you know? You can't
tell.
Know.
It's not safe.
T.
Yep.
I'll tell you what. Give a tease. We'll take a break.
A paparazzo was seriously injured following Britney.
Oh, no.
Yes.
How?
I'll get to that.
Mm.
I know
there has to be a death soon enough, doesn't
it's
there?
I think there's been one. I mean, some
Princess
people would
Di?
Argue that there's been one.
All right. Yeah. We'll take a quick break. John Fugelsang here. He can be seen on TV Water Cooler on the TV Guide channel
Fridays.
With our own Teresa Strasser and All the Wrong Reasons One Man Stage Show. Two nights, Thursday and Friday, right at the Brentwood Theater. Take a quick break. Right back. Finish up the news next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here are some celebrities who are not celebrating a birthday today. It's not David Blaine's birthday. No birthday cake for Whoopi Goldberg. And Wayne Newton, definitely not celebrating a birthday today. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
John Fugelsang is here. Danny Bonaducci back in studio. It is Whoopi Goldberg's 52nd birthday today. I just feel like I'm...
Again? That's great.
What's happened is we decided to do this bit. Thought it'd be funny. Celebrities who aren't celebrating a birthday. Each and every time, at least one of them is actually celebrating a birthday. And I don't know if it's just shoddy work done by the writing crew or just bad coincidence. But it is Whoopi Goldberg's 52nd birthday, everybody. All right, T.
Yep.
You want to finish the news?
Sure. Britney Spears has reportedly caused the hospitalization of a paparazzo. He was knocked off his motorcycle by her car.
Is the car okay?
I think so. Britney was trying to get away from a group of paparazzi near the Beverly Hills Hotel in Los Angeles last night when the incident occurred. Now, the victim is believed to be a so-called spotter. Have you heard of a spotter?
Yeah.
I had no idea they existed.
Greatest gig like in the world. You go to the cheerleading camp and you just stand up there and look up underage skirt in case the pyramid goes down.
I think this kind of spotter is different. Yeah.
But could you imagine the cheerleading camp spotter? You know when they do all those cheerleading competitions?
Yeah.
Your job, John Fugelsang, as the spotter, you wear a black sweatsuit and you stand underneath the chicks when they're flying up in the air in their little skirts and panties.
The trench coat
doing
feels more natural to me.
Splits and everything. We'll put you in it. And you just stand there and you look up.
Yeah.
And you be ready. And if we ever catch you not staring at the 14-year-old's ass, you will be fired.
Absolutely.
That's your job.
No, listen, I've heard this advice before. Roman Polanski told me all about it once.
I'm just saying, is there a better gig in sports than cheerleading camp spotter? And if the worst thing goes wrong, you get covered in an avalanche of hot 16-year-old cheerleaders.
That's why George Bush did it in college.
He was a cheerleader.
His father played football. He hoisted the girls in the air.
Where we been?
Oh, this is Adam.
That's me doing Here We Come a Truckin' In.
Can't be beat.
Was this the Powder Puff game?
Because we're funky on our feet.
No, I was a full-time cheerleader.
That's what I thought.
From Adam's movie Bring It Elsewhere.
That's right.
Now, the spotter, in this case, just follows around Britney and tips off the photographers where she is. They don't actually carry a camera. This spotter
can't just follow the Taco Bell wrappers and cigarette smoke.
That's how the spotter does it.
That's
it's
how
like
they find
tracking
me.
In the wild.
It's like an Indian. He puts his ear to the ground. He stands up. There's a chalupa stuck to the side of his face. He's like, pale face. This way. She have no kids strapped down and wagon. She no ride 'em side saddle either.
It's a long trail of Whippet balloons and Twix wrappers.
She have 2-day head start to Mr. Chow. We travel through night. We travel through night to get to Crustacean. We bivouac at Ivy. All right, sorry.
Follow Britney.
By the way, Britney Spears thinks that a crushed Asian has been run over by a car.
Well, the spotter was
her
hit
Indian
by the
name
car.
Is Walks Without Talent.
Or panties. Walks Without Panties is fine, but the spotter was seriously injured and is at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. His condition is currently
fall
unknown.
Off iron horse.
It's a good thing the spotter has such a rich spiritual life.
I'm sure
through
it's
this trying time.
Even richer now. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Hit tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Hit the pavement so hard, almost knocked the gay out of me.
I've never been hit that hard.
Hit so hard, now only by.
I got hit. I got hit today.
The Dooch Man, by the way, is back from Hollywood and Highland. He went over there to dispatch a little life advice. What happened?
A girl came up to me, and I think she was playing it for, I can't really tell. But she said, I think my husband might be going gay. So I said, there's ways to tell. And she said, well, he's wearing really tight clothes. I said, dude, you're talking to the wrong guy. And then she said, he joined the gym. And I said, so far, it sounds like he's having an affair. That's what you do.
You join a gym, you change your wardrobe. Yes.
Right.
Then I said, how many gyms does he belong to? And I took this quiz once. And anything over three, that's a big sign you're gay.
Whew, anything over a half in the Corolla family means you're gay.
Right. So I went on and I said, I can fix this problem in 5 minutes for you. I'll let you know forever.
You go to the gym because there's just a whole bunch of naked dudes. You can check them out in the shower, in the steam room, right?
So I went up to the guy and I said, I put my arm around and I said, let me ask you a question. Have you been, and I'm just babbling, I'm not saying anything. And then I just licked the side of his face really slowly. And he went to hit me, and I moved just in time, but his elbow still caught me across the chest. And there was a card table that I figured I hit it, hoping it would collapse, and I wouldn't get hurt. But it didn't, and I flipped over and hit my head on the concrete so hard.
Since when does a card table not collapse?
Collapse!
Yeah. The whole I point about a card it. Table. It's a table. It's all it's it does is collapse.
Yeah.
I didn't know life coaching was going to be this dangerous.
Oh, it's going to get better. I can tell. If they let these 8 episodes run and then let me take over, this is going to be
well,
good.
Well, I'm done licking men in Hollywood and Highland now.
Yeah, right. I won't be. You've ruined it for me, too.
That's not true, because John is not gay and does not wish to lick men. I wish to lick John, and I told him the very first day we met.
That's true.
I never
said. And you know what? It got me out of the Air Force, and God bless you for that.
I told him to his face the first day we met, and he was on my show and so funny and articulate. And I said, I hate you for being this tall, handsome, and funny. I want you to die.
Yeah, he is.
That was my hello.
Yeah, but what makes him even more delightful, he's been with his wife for something like 13 years now?
15 years.
That's right.
Yeah. 15 years, yeah. But we held off getting married for over 11. And then finally had to do it.
It's got to be tough on you because you're the kind of guy who could get laid if you were hanging drywall for a living, but instead you're on TV, so you have two penises in a sense. You know what I mean? I mean, you're famous.
Well, actually, I had another one sewn on a few years ago just in case. So, well, shucks. Thank you. It's great when I sign Matt LeBlanc's autograph all day.
how about Kyle MacLachlan?
Yeah.
I got Kyle MacLachlan, half the guys from Friends, and K.D. Lang.
But you said that you don't believe monogamy is natural, even though
I agree.
Well, here's the thing about the, and this is partially in my show, because we got married. You know, my mom's the ex-nun, my father's the ex-brother, and when they found out my dad was going to die, my mother had never once given us marriage guilt and then asked me to get married. And I said no. I was broke. I was depressed. I was in a horrible place, off my meds, lost health care. And there was no way I was going to do it to please my parents. I said, I can't get married to please my parents. That's what gay Republicans do. And my main argument was that humans are the only species that mate for life by choice against their nature. There's 6 species of mammals that naturally mate for life. Foxes, wolves, elephant shrews, beavers, gibbons, and the dick-dick, which is an antelope, not
really?
Something
did
Danny...
Did you miss lobster?
Lobster's not a mammal.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Last time I checked.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so there's a couple of hairy lobsters out there, but it depends on what bar you're in. So humans are the one species that choose to mate for life and then go through all manner of torment, confusion, guilt, and suffering when that's hard to pull off. So it's beautiful and it's possible, and maybe by doing it, we're changing our own evolution. In a million years, babies will be born biologically predisposed to it, but it just ain't natural.
I will tell you this. I have never, ever consciously made the choice to get married and be faithful. I thought you could have it all.
Did you take an oath when you got married?
Yeah, but I've also taken the stand about 9 times and committed perjury. What, was this going to throw me?
Well,
the drugs that were hanging out of your pants, Mr. Bonucci, yours? No, I was holding them for Fugelsang.
Do you think that... I have a theory about this. You know, it's both. If one, it goes against your nature. On the other hand, running up and punching people you disagree with is in your nature too, but yet we try to sort of work that out of us and evolve. It's an evolution. So we're aspiring to a greater good or higher power
and I'm
or
not
greater
saying
involvement.
Anything.
Yeah. But what about, I do have this theory, and maybe I'm just, maybe this is just me, but it always seems like the guys that get the mistresses, the guys that are in Europe who are the, in the government who have the mistresses, they stay married for 40 years and then the wife and the mistress both come to the funeral, because if you can go out just a couple times a month, kick your heels up and have a little fun in a champagne room with a stranger, and the wife gives you the green light for that, there's no reason ever to get divorced. There just isn't.
You know,
what do you think of that theory?
It's good to have a gumar, but you know, I mean, my feeling is that if you take a if you have an arrangement and your partner's okay with that, God bless you. But if you have stood up and made a vow in the presence of your loved ones and God and accepted presence for it, then you're kind of locked in. Mm. And I don't believe monogamy is natural, and that's someone who's been with the same girl for 15 years. But I do think adultery is pretty whack, as the white kids say.
It is whack.
Yeah.
Bugle saying,
when you decide to be monogamous, that's all you end up doing is whacking. It's, you know, within a week, you're whacking.
You know what? I think a wedding is the most beautiful gift you can ever give your parents' friends.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, this is why I'm not having one, as we've spoken
about.
Well,
but you had
times.
Your fake wedding on the
that's
Adam Carolla
right.
show.
That's all I'm having.
I'm looking forward to your fake separation.
John Fugel saying, can, with Batman, can not only be found on a TV water cooler Friday nights, but can be found doing his own one-man show right down the street on Wilshire. Thursday and Friday night. Hold on, we're 8 o'clock.
I just want to tell people how great it is. It's an amazing years in effort, years at work to get this perfect. It's brilliant.
Thank you. Yeah,
we
ran off Broadway and for a couple of months in a couple of different theaters, and I was up for a Drama League award, lost it to Liev Schreiber, that hack. But the Brentwood Theater is actually on the campus of the VA over on Wilshire.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's where you go to
and
find
can
that.
Can you get tickets at Ticketmaster?
You can go to Ticketmaster. Pearl Jam and I are both there.
All right. John Fuel saying, always great to see you.
Great to see you,
thanks,
Adam. I love
for,
your show.
Bringing it. Loving you, buddy. Hey, good friend and host of Pimp My Ride, Bo Bachman, coming in studio next.
Oh, I need him.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, next up, a man after my own heart. Bo Bachman, you know from Pimp My Ride. It's his shop that Exhibit brings the cars to and does all the work for the last couple of seasons. Bo's going to be with me at the L.A. Auto Show. Oh, this is exciting. I'm going to preview night on Thursday night. I get to eat myself some free food and drink some free booze and look at all the brand new babies out there. Bo Bachman?
Adam, what's going on, man?
Good to talk to you, Bo.
What's up, Bo?
I've had a relationship with Bo Bachman going way, way back. Yes.
Make it sound so.
I'll tell you the problem. On one hand, I like going to visit Bo over at Galpin Ford and looking at all the cars in the museum and looking at the new Aston Martins, and then I get angry at my dad.
Why?
Because Bo's dad started the business and has been doing the custom cars, and they've been in the same location for 65 years. And I just think about my dad, and I think, you bastard. Why couldn't have you been named Bachman?
I'm sure your dad's a great guy. I didn't get a chance
He's
to meet
a great guy who I have to go to Galpin Ford to lease him a Jag.
Yeah, hello? I think you're doing all right, though.
I landed on my feet, but I'm still angry. I'd rather have landed on Bo Bachman's feet.
No.
Another Bo.
Every day for a living, though, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I want Bo to land on my car. That's what I want more than life itself. I got a 67 GTO. You could do something with that, buddy.
We can do along with that.
What's
it's a lot
other?
Of fun, man.
Oh, I've seen Pimp My Ride. They could put an aquarium in the back of it.
A popcorn maker?
90-inch projecting TV on the hood.
I've actually done okay by the car. The problem is it still leaks a little, so in the rainy season, I always have to get new stereo. That's the only big problem. It's pretty cute. It's
the roof leaks.
Yeah, it's not all tricked out or anything like that. It's got all the, none of the parts match. It's not a classic.
It's fixable, though.
But it's rad, dude.
Hey,
I love those cars.
Bo, what do we have? Let me just ask you quickly. We'll see you at the LA Auto Show that's this Friday starts up, and you'll be down there with all the guys from Pimp My Ride
that's right.
at the booth. But what's coming out? What do we have to look forward to? Are there, you think it's going to go with electric cars or hybrid stuff, or is there stuff from Ford, or what's coming out?
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff that's actually coming out. The new Jag XF, I'm anxious to see the production model. You know, with Aston Martin, the DBS they're going to premiere, which we showed here last night, so that's going to be really cool.
I went to the factory, the Aston Martin factory.
A cool tour.
Totally James Bonded out about 4 months ago and saw the new Aston Martins and saw the guys with the English accents explaining that it takes 7 cows to make the interior and that they're cows from Sweden where they don't have certain insects that give them marks on their skins and they don't use barbed wire. And I was just like, I'm going to need a minute in the bathroom.
Tracy, just so you understand fully what this means, it's the same thing for Adam as me going to the Bunny Ranch and finding out they just got all new whores.
This,
right, okay?
I'm just
going to
cry and
whores
weep
with no
good
tattoos
luck.
Or marks on their skin.
It was a great experience.
Except for those spotted black and white ones from what kind of cows are they? The jerseys? Those ones still freak me out, but I'll go anyway.
So, how's the conversation always turn that way with Danny? That's what I
want to
know.
Man, no. That's just the way I work, man.
It always turns to whores. Hey, so, Bo, are you going out to preview night, by the way?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm going to hang out there or what?
Yes.
I got to show you some of my cars. We did a whole bunch of really cool cars for the LRL show this year. We did 13 cars.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did a biodiesel hydrogen off-road beast F450 and a turbocharged Fusion. And we're downstairs in Kensha Hall. We got 11 cars down there on display, too, and a couple cars in the Ford booth. So we got some really neat stuff this year.
I'll tell you. It's a really interesting time talking to Bo Bachman from Pimp My Ride and Galpin Ford. It's a really cool time because I just saw in the news gas prices have once again gone up and oil is getting to be $100 a barrel. And even adjusted for inflation, this is the highest it's ever been in history.
Yeah.
So it's going to force the public or it's going to force the manufacturers to really get creative and interesting because we want cleaner cars and we want greater gas mileage, but we're not going to give up the performance anymore because we got a taste of it and it's like heroin and we want it. So now we're going to demand the world.
Yeah, it was like on the show. We took a 65 Impala. We put a GM diesel into it with 800 horsepower, 1,200 foot-pounds of torque that ran 100% on biodiesel. So what it shows is you can be environmental and not have to give up performance and things like that. That's kind of the message I believe in. Because we shouldn't have to sacrifice to be environmental. Until we get to the holy grail of whatever it is, runs on water, whatnot, you know, we'll figure out some creative ways to use different types of technology and fuels.
I agree, and Bo Bachman bleeds green when I see him at the auto show every year and he pulls up in his 12-cylinder Jag with the snakeskin seat covers.
Yeah,
I say, who is that? Is that Ed Begley Jr.? Who's driving the metallic purple metal flake painted custom Jag with the 12-cylinder and the 14 anaconda snakes in the seats over there? Hey, no, that's not Ed Begley. That's Bo Bachman.
Now, would they do that at Galpin? Is there a special place they do that kind of stuff?
Well, we do it all right here. Everything. Any kind of performance, interiors, paint, audio, video, we do all customizing for all makes and models of cars. So no matter what you want done, we can do it. As long as it's safe and legal, you know, we can get it done.
Safe and legal, my middle name.
I got to tell you, it is an amusement park for guys who like cars. It really is.
Thank you.
Hey, Bo, I'll see you Thursday night. Yeah?
All right, we'll see you then, Adam.
Hey, actually, thanks for the tickets. I think you got me some tickets.
Of course. It's my pleasure.
And Bo will be down there with the rest of the crew from Pimp My Ride Friday, starting Friday at the L.A. Convention Center. I got to tell you, even if you're not a car nut like me, it is still bitching to see the best, the newest, the future, the technology, the stuff that's going to be on the roads in 2 years and the stuff you can get tomorrow.
There's two great things about cars, the brand new ones that are the future and the really old ones that are the past and been redone perfectly.
Right.
Anything just in the middle is just a great thing to get you from A to B.
Except
decent point. It's the exact opposite of a hamburger.
Right.
Exactly.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Yeah. All right. Just some thanks where thanks are due. I want to thank Dana Gould for coming in here. There you go. The comedy
cut off your feet.
Saturday at Caesars in Las Vegas. Dana Gould, John Fugelsang, All the Right Reasons, one man show. Everyone gives it a big thumbs up. Thursday and Friday at the Brentwood Theater. Bo Bachman, Pimp My Ride. Him and the crew are going to be out at the LA Auto Show on Friday, and I'll be getting drunk with him on Thursday. If I get too drunk, I may stow away in the boot of an Aston Martin, pop up disoriented, covered my own filth somewhere in the middle of Saturday's show.
Hey, you know that since my serial numbers and stuff don't match on the GTO, it's not collectible?
Right.
Could you think of cool stuff I could have done to it then to not wreck it, but still have it just be rad?
I will give it some thought.
I would appreciate that.
Teresa Strasser, TV Water Cooler. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. I'm going to get one breast reduced, but I'm not going with both, and I'm leaving the tummy as it is.